about. So easy.
You gotta put it in
person. Can I say one last word?
Okay, yeah.
Hello, students. And also have good luck when you enter fourth grade or fifth grade.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Who are you consulting with consistently so that you're ready on day one?
I'm speaking with myself, number one, because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
Now I want to sniff some glue.
I love my job. Oh my God, I want to do it forever. Especially because this is the kind of job that I've gotten better at every year. And it's also the kind of job that you need to be fast on your feet. You need to be quick and you need to sort of, I don't even know what the word is.
And now,
girl.
I learned that from Wendy Williams.
Our feature presentation.
Right. Right. Hey, party people. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time, wouldn't you know it, it's the 29th of August, 2016, and it's Monday.
It is, indeed. That is true.
Am I being mocked already?
Yes. No, I'm just wondering what would the response be to that, to the date? Boy, it's the 29th.
It's the 29th? Oh, my God.
Who knew?
Good morning, Bean.
Hey, good morning, Bean.
Great
hey,
to see you.
How was your weekend?
You always ask about my weekend. How was yours?
How was your weekend, Bean?
I bet it was good.
It was fine. Look, hear my whole thing. Mm-hmm. I got a lot to do. I'm taking a 2,700-mile road trip in less than a week.
Yeah.
I got a lot to do. So it was pretty busy.
You should come down and see Sting, though, in the middle of that.
I should take a couple of days out of my busy packing to move schedule to come see Sting. That's a great idea, Allie.
Excellent.
How about y'all, Chip? You had a big rock star weekend. You played the zoo?
I played at the zoo, yes.
Now, is this the kind of gig that was awesome, or is it the kind of gig that once you get a little distance from it, you're going to be able to laugh at yourselves for taking a gig at the zoo?
Well, no, like the event, like the idea of the event is cool. It was, they had food trucks and beer, and you know, it was closed after hours, so you can, you know, people walk around and watch, look at the exhibits and listen to music and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. I don't think playing on a soaked lawn was the best idea.
Oh.
Maybe logistics were an issue, but otherwise it was fun.
So you could have been electrocuted.
I could have died.
Played your cards right.
Yeah.
Chip texted me that she was worried about electricity plus water equals death.
Usually that's bad.
So I asked
her somewhere
if she wanted us to bury her in a shoebox or flush her down the toilet if she died.
Wow. I just wanted to be in death corner this week.
Because she's so little.
Oh, I get it. Right.
How about you, Allie? Any excitement?
I hung out and then relaxed and mm-hmm. then watched The Night Of.
Right.
You know,
oh, finally.
Like you do.
Did you fast forward the weekend like you wanted to?
No, unfortunately, the weekend went at its same rate, but it was fine. It was still fun.
You were trying to get through all day Friday, all day Saturday, and most of Sunday just to get to The Night Of.
A little bit.
Was it worth it?
No.
Really?
Pretty underwhelming.
Oh, yeah. Disappointing.
That's okay. I'm all right, you guys.
Okay.
It's fine.
Well, I had one interesting thing happen to me this weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm at LAX and I'm dressed as Zorro. And the next thing you know,
I don't think that was you.
All of a sudden, everyone out of everywhere just starts running and screaming and evacuating the airport. And I'm just standing there with my plastic sword because I've just come from my job at Hollywood Boulevard to pick up a friend. And all of a sudden, I get arrested as if I had anything to do with it.
Right.
That was a weird deal last night, wasn't it?
I didn't find out what it was all about. Was it actually Zorro that started this?
He had nothing to do with it. He was just a guy who was standing there with a sword. So somebody said, oh, people think there's a shooter. Maybe it's that guy? Not really putting two and two together. No, he had nothing to do with it. He's just wrong place, wrong time.
Then why did people think there was a shooter?
This is what we're all trying to figure out. For folks who have no idea what the F I'm talking about, LAX was not officially evacuated last night. It was self-evacuated. People just ran outside, basically, is what happened, and ran into areas of the airport that they weren't allowed to be, causing hours of delay because everybody had to be rescreened to get on the flights that were canceled, or delayed, I should say. So there was a loud noise heard somewhere. But this is the I'm so fascinated in mass psychology. Because multiple people in multiple terminals called 911 and put on social media that they had heard gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
So there weren't any gunshots. There wasn't a shooter. Nobody was hurt. Mm-mm. The entire thing was a misunderstanding. But even if there were a loud noise in one of the terminals.
Yeah, why would it spread to multiple?
How does that happen? Yeah. I mean, I think a rumor like there's an active shooter is probably these days the fastest kind of rumor in the world that spreads. And I think that one person puts it on social media and tags LAX, and somebody in another terminal happens to be on social media and sees that. And, you know, next thing you know, it's the telephone game.
Yeah.
But that must have been – I mean, look – you can't blame people for running if they think there's a shooter. Sure. But how does something like that get started?
And running onto tarmacs. Like, they were busting through doors onto tarmacs. It was it was not a good situation.
Yeah, go. As I mentioned, going in all sorts of areas in the airport, employee areas, and all sorts of areas where the public aren't supposed to go. I don't blame you for looking for shelter, but it's just it's such a mystery where it all came from. And by the way, this is on the heels of, and I'll just mention this real fast, I don't know if you guys even saw what happened in Orlando over the weekend at the mall there.
No.
They did – Joey Fatone is opening a restaurant there, or just opened a restaurant there.
In Saints, Joey Fatone?
Yes.
Okay.
The restaurant is called Fat Ones because, look, if your name is Joey Fatone, you're never going to get away from people calling you Fat Ones. So that's what the restaurant is called, Fat Ones. Here's the sentence that will blow your mind. Deputy said that as part of the inspection for the restaurant's grand opening – a balloon test was scheduled to be completed through a contracted venue as part of an industry standard. An announcement was made on the PA system informing shoppers and employees that the test would be conducted. The test consisted of six large balloons popping consecutively, followed by a fire alarm.
What?
How does somebody go, you know what? That's a test that we should do on a Saturday afternoon in a food court.
Not good.
Can you? I mean,
oh, no.
Shouldn't somebody have raised her hand and said, hey, you know what? People might hear that and think it's gunfire because we're 5 miles away from the Pulse nightclub.
Oh, my God.
Caused people to go into a panic mode and run. There were shoot. Here's one eyewitness. We were told shooting, shooting, shooting. We saw a massive crowd run. You put two and two together. You don't stick around to find out what's going on. You just run. I saw their faces. They looked if they just saw something terrible, which, by the way, no one did see anything terrible. I kept watching. Just more people. It's a flood. There were children falling. People were dragging children. People were getting stepped on. Elderly people were being knocked down. It was absolute mayhem. Poor Nana.
Poor Nana.
Social media quickly started blowing up with rumors of an active shooter inside.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know that social media helps in these situations,
absolutely,
by the way.
Absolutely doesn't.
People tweeting that they were running and scared. Again, just like in the LAX situation, it was later confirmed that there was no shooting. There was no shooter, and the incident was prompted because of the balloons.
Well, what airport was it a couple weeks ago? It was the Olympics. People were cheering in a bar for the Olympics. People thought there was an active shooter at that airport.
Yeah, it was one of the New York City airports.
Insane.
Yeah. So I guess we're just also on edge, particularly if we're in a crowded place like a shopping mall or an airport, that if we hear a loud noise, I think we used to not assume it was a shooter.
Right.
But they're so common now that that's the first thing we think of.
I wonder if it's going to get to the point like how we all react to car alarms. Like, oh, there's another one.
That's a
so
great point.
So we don't respond anymore.
I don't know.
That's not great.
But I do know, not that I'm suggesting anyone do this, but if you got a history test, I mean, really all you need to do is pop a balloon.
Be
it seems like the
Baxter.
School evacuates.
No.
I'm just saying, you got to figure out.
Stop saying.
You got to figure out a
less
way to.
Stop that. Okay. No more saying.
Hey, let's talk about today's all new Kevin Beach, shall we?
Hey, I had a question. Does Kevin still work there?
No.
I mean, I feel like he just drops in wherever he wants. I want that job.
Who?
Are you guys hiring?
We all want that job, sir. But Kevin already has that position filled.
I thought you're the blonde one.
Well, he's... Yeah. That's a great point. He's the blonde male one.
Rumor is Kevin will be back tomorrow. That's the rumor.
Really?
That's what we're being told.
Tomorrow?
We'll see. That's what we hear. Hey, director, writer, actor, podcaster, Kevin Smith joins us in studio this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. That's always a lot of fun. Kevin always has a lot to say. A woman I am in awe of named Jessie Graff will be here.
Wow.
She is in the American Ninja Warrior Vegas Finals.
Yeah.
And she is a real-life superwoman. Like,
yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen a woman, maybe a person, who can do what she does on an American Ninja Warrior course. She can hang herself by her fingers. She can hold herself up by her fingers.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't seem human, right?
Yeah.
She's also an unbelievable stunt woman who's been in everything you've ever seen, and she seems like a really interesting lady. And she has a pet pig, so I'm very deeply in love with Jessie Graff.
And we just got to why she was booked.
So she'll be on at the 7 o'clock hour here this morning. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is coming on the show today because we do that on Mondays. And, of course, we're running out of time to get you in the audience for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
That's going to be Wednesday morning, 50 hours from right now. 50 hours and 17 minutes from right now. Breakfast with Sting down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. And if you want to be there, we've got your tickets. Plus, Ralph has the showbiz beat, and that's next on K-Rock. That's some talented musicianship right there.
That's R.E.M.
It did sound like R.E.M., didn't it?
That's the band called R.E.M.
But we couldn't be playing R.E.M. That's not us, right?
We play what we want to play. That's why we're
I thought
crack
that was
FM.
I gotcha. Man, it's been a long time since I heard that song.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, that's the voice of Ralph Garman here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. How are you, sir?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I apologize that Allie assaulted you when you came in like you had stole something.
It's just
it was an interrogation, wasn't it?
You just gotta live your life, man. There's nothing you can do. You can't control the people. You can only control your reaction to them.
That's what I hear.
Right.
That's what I hear. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's time for we'll talk about the MTV VMAs. By the way, you probably have some of that too. But we got some. We're going to play some of the Kanye audio coming up right off the top of the hour because MTV made the decision that they were going to give Kanye 4 minutes. They said to do whatever he wanted.
Best decision they could make.
And you would think that he would have planned something out, but no.
You're adorable.
He just winged it. So we have that audio for you coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though. Here's Ralph with the rest of the showbiz beat.
It's a Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Don't Breathe was the surprise first place film of the weekend. Exceeded expectations in terms of its box office. Made $26.1 million at number one. Pretty damn impressive for a movie that cost about $10 million to make. So
that's a pretty common story with these horror movies.
Yeah,
I saw it yesterday. It's really good.
There you go.
If you like a home invasion type of horror movies, those are great.
Ah, the home invasion type of horror movie.
Don't rob a blind guy. That's what I learned.
That's what I have. I've always said that, though. I didn't need that movie to tell me that.
I noticed on social media that most people seem to think the movie is called Don't Breath, though. I did notice that.
I'll never look at a turkey baster the same way.
Because people left the E off being, you had a strongly worded letter.
I didn't write any strongly worded letters, but it was noticeable how many people think the word breathe is spelled breath, though. I was just a little bit surprised, I guess.
Were you? Were you surprised?
I was.
Do you have feelings about that?
Well, it's a pretty easy word to spell, breathe.
Suicide Squad was number two at the box office with $12 million. Then Kubo and the Two Strings. Sausage Party and Mechanic Resurrection rounding out the top five. Pete's Dragon was six. War Dogs came in at number seven. Bad Moms at number eight. Jason Bourne and Ben-Hur were your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. Couple notable passings over the weekend. Harry Fujiwara, better known to wrestling fans everywhere as Mr. Fuji, passed away on Sunday morning. He was 82 years old. Mr. Fuji spent 30 years with the WWE, both as a manager for other wrestlers and a favorite in the ring himself. Kind of dressed like Oddjob from Goldfinger when he went into the ring, with a black tuxedo and a bowler hat. He was, he had a bit, a great bit, where he would take salt and throw it in the face of his opposing wrestlers to blind them. Loved that.
Sounds legal.
Then he managed wrestlers including Kamala, George the Animal Steel, Demolition, Killer Khan, Powers of Pain. Inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2007. So
he was beloved.
He was beloved. As was Juan Gabriel, legendary Mexican singer and songwriter, passed away over the weekend. And one of the most successful Mexican musicians, singer-songwriters of all time, passed away over the weekend.
This was shocking to me because he played the Forum, I want to say, Friday night. And on Saturday, I read the glowing reviews. He was 66 years old, and apparently he just owned that room, and it was a great concert. He was unbelievably energetic, and people were just raving about how this guy, who's, as you mentioned, a beloved Mexican music figure, was still bringing it at his age. And then the next morning, he has a heart attack and dies. It was so shocking.
Yeah.
You're very confused with how heart attacks work.
Bean thinks you're sick for a couple months ahead of time, I think.
Yes, he did this last time, remember?
Yes. How can you just be walking around and look great and then you have a heart attack? How does that work?
My point
that's
is...
That's how heart attacks happen. Right. They come out of nowhere and they're sudden and they strike you dead. No, I don't think you understand at all.
I understand.
It's the opposite of understanding. Because you can do a concert and rock the concert and then the next day you can have a heart attack.
But what I'm saying is the looks are deceiving because if you were at
my Lord.
No, if you were at that concert Friday night, you would think that is a guy in peak physical health. Like
he could have been.
Yes, heart attacks don't have physical symptoms.
But then he died, guys.
Oh, my God.
You are awful.
I was very sad. That's my point.
Your point was, he did a concert. He looked good in concert, then he died. How is that possible?
It was shocking, and it was sad. That's all I'm saying.
Shocking and sad, yes, but one has nothing to do with the other.
I don't like it.
But it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Learn how it works and stop talking about it.
He seemed too healthy for a heart attack.
No, that's not how that works. You know, you're not in a wheelchair for 6 months before your heart attack.
Listen to him.
You're clueless.
I feel like an idiot.
This is the worst Monday ever. And they're usually bad.
But Ralph Gary Shandling was so healthy. How could he have a heart attack?
I just saw him. He was talking to people. He went to a party before he had a heart attack. How is that possible?
Well, stop
it. Why wasn't he in an oxygen tent for years before his heart attack? So we could have known it was coming.
Just don't do that anymore, is what I'm saying. Stop it with that.
I think that also applies to you, sir. Everything you just said also applies to you. Just don't do that anymore.
I'm going to be over here if you guys need me.
Celebrity birthdays today. Elliot Gould, legendary actor. I guess we know him most recently from his arc on Ray Donovan. He had a regular on that show until recently. 78 years old today. Carla Gugino from Roadies, amongst other projects, 45 years old. Lea Michele from Glee is 30. Liam Payne is 23 years old today. And Courtney Stodden. Oh, Courtney Stodden, the lunatic who married the old man. And then she shaved her head.
I mean, I can't even find the strength to give her a bell.
No, she's a freak.
She's a freak, right?
She's sideshow material.
Yeah.
And she just challenged Brody Jenner to an acting off. What's going on? What's happening? You take on Brody Jenner in the acting ring? Is that a challenge you need to make?
And I don't even think she could beat him.
No, of course she couldn't. I don't even know if Brody Jenner's ever acted a day in his life. Anyway, she's 22 years old today. Yeah, she seems so healthy before she turned 22. How does that work? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Monday morning. Talk to Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com coming up in minutes. Dave, our producer, King of Mexico. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I wanted to have you in because the ladies didn't see any of the MTV Video Music Awards, and I just want to make sure. It sounds like you just answered my question. It was as awful as I thought it was, right?
Other than Beyonce and the very last Rihanna performance, and that's about it.
I enjoyed Rihanna. They did something interesting, Allie, that I've never seen them do before. Rihanna was getting the Michael Jackson, I don't know what they called that,
Vanguard
Award, right? Mm-hmm. So she was the big attraction for the night, but they made her work for it. She performed four times the show.
Hold up. Let's say performed in quotes until the very last.
I mean, she was lip syncing, but she was out there in different outfits with different performances, different dancers, doing medleys of hits. So throughout the evening, you saw Rihanna do, I don't know, a dozen Rihanna songs.
That's interesting.
And she's a big enough artist with enough great songs that I really enjoyed that. But she was making no attempt to make it appear as if she was singing live. I mean, like half the time she wasn't even holding the microphone up to her mouth. You know what I mean?
Geez. Yeah.
So it was definitely a dance performance more than it was a singing performance. But look, She's a great artist, so I really enjoyed her. You mentioned Beyonce. Who's better than Beyonce performing live right now?
Adele.
Nay.
No. Look, Adele has the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adele has the voice.
Yeah, that's what I look for in a musician.
I'm telling you, Beyonce, I don't have enough words to describe how great Beyoncé's performance was last night. She did a medley of five songs from Lemonade, and she slayed. And the saddest decision in the world was whoever allowed Britney Spears to go on after Beyoncé.
No, she didn't close?
No.
Beyoncé always closes.
No,
nope.
But...
Oh, sad.
And what was great about Beyoncé was she was the only rock on the whole entire show.
Yeah, the only electric guitar you heard in 3 hours was when she was performing Don't Hurt Yourself, the song she does on the album with Jack White. Yeah. She was incredible. And that clip is performance is everywhere. Ali, do yourself a favor and watch that Beyoncé thing.
I did.
It's great, right?
If you love Beyoncé, it's great. I like vocals. I like to hear somebody sing and just kill it.
Get out. No, seriously,
she's a great entertainer. She puts on a great show. It's not what I look for when I want to hear a band and a musician and that. It's just, it's not what I consider slaying.
I will not have you besmirch the queen. I will not. I will not allow it. I will not allow it. Now, Britney, look, the last time she was on the MTV Video Music Awards was 9 years ago. And that was, she was kind of pudgy and lethargic. And she kind of lip-synced her way through a song called Gimme More back then. And everybody was like, oh, she's gone. And she definitely came back better than that. But coming on after Beyoncé and seeing her lackluster dance moves. And I mean, I just feel like she hasn't updated her look or her show.
Or her dance style, yeah.
In 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, she's not an... I guess the difference is Beyoncé is an artist, and Britney, to me, last night just looked like a product. You know what I mean? It was a very sad contrast, a tough A-B. And if I were Britney's people, there's no way I would have allowed that scheduling. Look, you want me on the show, I'll do it, but put me as far away from Beyoncé as possible, I would have said. So the other moment on the program that people were looking forward to was Kanye West. I hear the joy in your voice.
Listen, I love Kanye.
No, enough with giving this guy the press that he begs for and then saying, oh, well, that sucked. Of course it sucked. It's what he does.
Didn't suck.
Really?
It was nothing. It was a guy talking for 4 minutes. And
what's the point?
Yeah, the point was it's no different than anybody else talking before any award.
Yeah, he didn't have anything
to say.
Nothing.
It was just him ranting again. But like I said, there was nothing that sucked about it because it's just him being him. And
but it was a big waste of time, though.
But that's what everybody wanted to see. Everyone wanted to see what he had to say about the issues. And his issues.
I don't care what he has to say.
No, you don't care, but you're not watching the show. So the people who were watching the show, everyone was excited for it.
I don't know what I expected from Kanye. I mean, ultimately, his job was to come out and introduce his new video. He's got a new song from his Life Pablo album that he played a video for. I know you enjoyed the video, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Tiana Taylor is insane looking. Why didn't they just go straight to that? Just all Tiana Taylor.
Right.
That would have been fine too, by the way. Here's he was supposed to be on for 4 minutes. He ended up being on for seven. But by time you cut out the parts of this where he's just standing on stage, just staring at the audience, or talking to individual people in the audience, or holding for applause, or umming and awing, I cut it down to 2 minutes, and it's almost all of it. So here's a little bit of Kanye.
I am Kanye West, and that feels really great to say, especially this year. I came here to present my new video, but before I do that, I'm a talk.
Okay. When I heard that, I was like, oh, please don't talk. Why are people applauding that Kanye is going to talk? But talk he did.
Later tonight, Famous might lose to Beyonce, but I can't be mad. I'm always wishing for Beyonce to win. So,
by the way,
see, that was funny.
That was actually very generous of Kanye, who always complains when he doesn't win everything all the time. But in this case, he's like, I'm happy to let Beyonce win because I love her so much, which I thought was actually... You know, for him to not want it all for himself, I was impressed by, for a change, because he's acting like a regular human instead of an a-hole.
But for people to understand just how blessed we are, it was an expression of our now.
Okay, so what? Now he's talking about Famous. He's talking about the video for which he is nominated. Now, this is the song that by now everybody knows is I Made That Bitch Famous. That's the one that he has the Taylor Swift line.
One more time?
That was so controversial. And it's also the one where he made that video where he had everybody in bed. Everybody from Donald Trump to Caitlyn Jenner is in this bed. And he's making some sort of a statement that maybe I'm not smart enough to get about famous people. They're just people or something like that. So right now, Kanye is taking advantage of his free time on the MTV Video Music Awards to talk about how awesome he is for making this video.
Our fame right now, us on the inside of the TV, you know, just to put the audacity to put Anna Wintour right next to Donald Trump.
Check out my audacity that I would do that because that's what a genius I am.
I mean, like, I put Ray J in it, bro. Like, this is fame, bro. Like, I see you, Amber.
And then he's shouting out ex-girlfriends in the crowd. All right, now you ready for the most drastic non-sequitur ever. So he's going from talking about how awesome his video is right into this.
If you think about last week, it was 22 people murdered in Chicago. You know, like, people come to me like, man, that's right, Tell Taylor. Bro, like, I love all y'all. That's why I called her.
Okay, explain that. 22 people killed in Chicago. People come up to me and say, tell Taylor, I love all people. That's why I called her. Explain what are those things? Why are they together in a sense?
I think he was going to say something about the social issues in Chicago and then got sidetracked. just went, up. Look at me here.
Thinking about a feud that he refuses to let go, by the way.
Yeah, right, like.
And by the way, the other thing I was thinking is, why is he still talking about that? Like, why?
Because he has to be right. That's why. And he proved it that he was right.
Until everybody agreed with him.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with him, Allie, that he needs to go out on television once again and drag us through that controversy?
What's wrong with us that we're giving him the airtime and dissecting it is the thing. He's going to keep doing it because there's people like us that are going to keep giving him this platform.
So you're saying don't be fascinated with Kanye because you're giving him what he wants?
If you're fascinated with Kanye, you need better fascinations. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just trying to understand what's going on in his head.
He is a narcissistic sociopath. Who cares?
All right,
but he's a genius.
He is not a genius, and anyone that thinks he's a genius is an imbecile.
His music is great. That's my point.
That's not a genius.
He's a music genius.
Dave, I want to slap you silly.
Listen to the people to whom Kanye compares himself, and this is my favorite part of the whole thing.
I sit down and talk to older, like rich people, you know, a.k.a. white, you know, but they tell me, don't compare yourself to Steve Jobs. Don't compare yourself to Walt Disney. They tell me, don't compare yourself to these people, right? My friend Sakaya told me one of the three keys to keeping people impoverished. That's taking away their esteem, taking away their resources, and taking away their role models. My role models are...
Okay. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Artists, merchants. There's less than 10 that I can name in history.
Artists, merchants.
Okay.
Truman.
He was a great painter?
He did run a clothing store at one point in his life before he went to the Senate. How is unless he's talking about Truman from the Truman Show that he has referenced in speeches before, but that's not a real person. How is President Truman an artist merchant, and how can Kanye West compare himself to President Truman? Anyone?
Where is that even coming from?
Nope.
Ford. Hughes. Disney, Jobs, West.
So he puts himself in that list.
I thought it was Adam West.
I think Kanye West is referring to himself in the third person is what he's doing.
Makes sense.
So that was how Kanye used his free time on a television network last night. And those were the MTV Video Music Awards. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Keep listening for your way in to Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
It's happening Wednesday morning down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock as we welcome a rock and roll legend to K-Rock. If you want to be there in person, we'll tell you how. That is coming up first on Monday morning. I think you know that means our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey.
Hey, Bean.
Did you watch the MTV Video Music Awards last night?
I just watched
snippets here and there. I was in Vegas.
Oh. Ooh, what's going on there? Wow.
I'm glad you asked. We rolled out the TMZ slot machines yesterday at the Hard Rock Casino, and it was awesome. It was
really TMZ slot machines now?
Mm-hmm.
Let are you eating TMZ chocolate on the phone with us right now?
No, I'm eating breakfast. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But the best thing for me about this game, I can't lose at it.
What do you mean?
Because it's his money.
I started putting money in, and I thought, this is okay. It doesn't matter.
How many machines are there, and why are there TMZ slot machines?
Oh, are you kidding me? It is so fun. Honest to God, it is so fun. We spent a year with IGT putting this thing together. And what happens is you sit there and you take a picture. You can take a picture of yourself, and then you become literally part of the game.
Oh, wow.
We insert you in the game. And it's just like being in the 30-mile zone. It's so fun.
And are there – did you have to license a bunch of pictures of celebrities inside the slot machine too? Oh, I see.
They all said we got a bunch of them. And Tara Reid was there. I got to tell you, she was so sweet. She was there kind of helping us out. And she was really, really sweet and did well, I might add.
That is surprising based on the last few times I've seen Tara Reid attempt to do anything, so including act. So I'm happy to hear that.
She's in Sharknado 4, man.
All right, so the TMZ slot machines are at the Hard Rock. You missed the VMAs, but I'm sure you spent some time with the Kanye tape this morning.
We
were just having a spirited discussion on the air. Allie thinks that you and us are fools for giving this guy the press, giving him the time and the attention because he doesn't deserve it. What do you think?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're just reporting this stuff. I didn't put him on there. And secondly, you know, look, the VMA said we're going to give him 4 unedited minutes, but he has so much to say about himself that he couldn't do it in 4, so he needed 7. And it was so, I don't know. I mean, this guy, he reminds me of Cassius Clay, you know, way back in the day.
How dare you?
No. In the sense that his opinion of himself is so incredibly high. Cassius Clay clearly backed it up. And you could argue Kanye backs it up. But this was so lame. And
he can't even complete a sentence or a thought. Disjointed.
Didn't it feel almost stream of consciousness?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, so they gave him 7. He took 7 minutes. And it seems like he didn't prepare.
Not at all.
He just wanted to talk about how great it was to be him. And then mentions, you know, Ray J and, you know, and
Amber Rose.
Like everybody is going to be so shocked that he mentioned it. It was like, okay, well, you mentioned him. That's not that shocking.
Yeah,
so
and he spent a minute of that talking about how great his video is and why it was so revolutionary and groundbreaking that he made this video. It's like, hey, let me tell you what I like about me. And
I think
I'm so surprised.
Different world, man.
I think he does too. And I'm so surprised, though, that you would think a guy like Kanye would be interested in being a forward-moving artist instead of just going out there and rehashing stuff we've already heard all about.
I have no answer for you. Yeah. I mean, I think happened? Kanye West did things that were legitimately shocking at a point in his career. Mm-hmm. And I think he drank the Kool-Aid to the point where he thinks anything he does is shocking.
Yes.
And anything he does is memorable. And anything he does is worth, you know, 4 minutes or 7 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever. And I really think he thinks, and it's not that I'm not a fan of his, because he's a great, great artist, but everything that comes out of his mouth, he thinks is like prophetic.
I think that is an absolutely accurate analysis.
Don't you think we're all a bit to blame for that? Like, people that have their children, they keep telling them they're special little snowflakes. Those kids become entitled and feel like they deserve to be that special snowflake. We've done that to Kanye. We keep giving him these platforms. We keep talking about him. He's not saying anything.
Is Allie running for something?
I'm running away from Kanye
talk.
That
was good. You brought in child rearing. That was good.
Just saying. He's
all right,
not
listen.
A special snowflake.
I want to move on to just one more thing, Harvey, because we have a busy show, and I'm not sure we're going to have a chance to get to it later, but it was a very significant story, got a lot of press, including on TMZ.com over the weekend, and that's Colin Kaepernick, who temporarily is quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. There is some question as to whether he'll even make the team when the season starts.
Right.
But he's in a little bit of a controversy with a lot of people. What's your take on what's going on, Harvey?
I mean, look, my personal take, I just think, look, there is a huge problem in this country with police brutality. There just is. Mm-hmm. And there is a particular problem with African Americans and police. There just is.
All right.
But to do what he did, I just keep, you know, not to sit during the national anthem and say that America basically is no good. I mean, the idea, we have a black president. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a black president.
Right, but that doesn't mean racism goes away. You can't, you've already conceded.
No.
You conceded his point that we have problems.
There is racism, but it's, you know, it's like we have a black president. And to say that this country is fundamentally racist, there are huge problems. And there are problems particularly with police. But to say, you know, it's like erasing the fact that that almost the majority of Americans voted for a black leader. And a lot of people thought that would never happen. And he leads our country. The leader of our country is black. Mm-hmm. That says something. And I don't know, to do what he did, for me, it didn't sit well.
I was surprised to see the way the NFL has handled it, which is to say it is completely voluntary. In other words, he won't get fined or anything like that. They say, look, if you don't want to stand for the national anthem, we're not going to make you, which I was surprised that they would take that stance, which is probably unpopular with a lot of their fans, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Absolutely.
But I was giving it a lot of thought over the weekend, and just like we have a freedom, you know, of religion to practice whatever religion we want in this country, part of the beauty of the Constitution is that we have a freedom from religion, and no one can force us to practice religion if we don't want to. And I kind of feel the same about the national anthem. I feel like if it's kind of a personal choice if you want to.
I agree with you. But there's also, you know, look, people have a right to not do, you know, to not do the Pledge of Allegiance, to not, you know, stand for the national anthem. But people also have a right to react. I mean, that's, again, everybody kind of acts like, yeah, you do have the right, but everybody has a right to react to whatever they want to react to.
Right.
And,
that's right.
You know,
yeah.
Every reaction has, you know, we have freedom of reaction and freedom of reaction to the reaction.
Yeah, I agree that he has the right to do it. I don't fault him for it, but I also think he's wrong. How about that? Can I say that? He's entitled to his opinion, but I think he's wrong because I think you can still stand and pledge your allegiance to the country, and that doesn't mean you sign off on everything that happens in the country every day.
You actually said it better than me, but that's what I was trying to say.
You can read all about this at TMZ.com. And, of course, look for TMZ all over your TV, Channel 11 today throughout the day for the old school show. TMZ Live airs at 4 Monday through Friday on Fox. TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Don't forget the TMZ tour at TMZ.com. And now we know in Las Vegas, go to the Hard Rock for the TMZ slot machines. Harvey, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on. Hey, party people, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday morning. Very excited about the 7 o'clock hour. Jesse Graff is going to be here from American Ninja Warrior Vegas Finals. She could probably lift us all, Allie. Probably pick us all up and throw us a great distance.
I don't know if I want that to happen.
She seems like the strongest woman in the world. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, very excited to meet Jesse. She's coming in. Also, our friend Kevin Smith will be back today as well. First, though, Donald Trump, you guys, the next president of the United States, God willing, is turning over a new leaf. I don't know if you've heard, Allie, but mm-hmm. the new, gentler, kinder Donald Trump.
Right.
He gave a speech last week where he, and this is very rare for Mr. Trump, mm-hmm. because he thinks a lot of himself, but I think he actually apologized for something. Listen up.
Sometimes in the heat of debate and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that. And believe it or not, I regret it,
wow.
particularly where it may have caused personal pain.
What? I mean, that's kind of an apology. Now, clearly he's reading that. Somebody wrote that for him.
To stick to a script every now and then with him.
So they did a whole big media blitz where mm-hmm. his people went on the various shows talking about how Donald Trump wasn't going to make fun of people anymore and that he recognized that his words can be hurtful and he's in a position now where he has to be more careful about the things that he says. And then about 20 minutes after that, he said this.
Hillary Clinton is a bigot.
Okay, so You might grant him an exception because that's his opponent. That's who he's trying to beat in the election. Mm-hmm. So maybe we get. Let's find out if there's really a new, kinder, gentler, nicer Donald Trump. It's time for the Trump Gate.
He's a guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump Gate.
Sit down.
If it's not presumptuous, may I just call you Mr. President Donald Trump?
Right. Thank you, Bean. I appreciate that. And yes, and good morning to you both. You're both lovely people.
Wow.
This is real nice.
No, you're not saying anything about how you're a ratings machine and you're doing us a huge favor by being on?
No, I'm the lucky one. You're doing me a favor by allowing me to share my views with, America, it says here.
All right. So, Mr. Trump, here's what I wanted to ask you because, your turnabout got a lot of press that now we were going to see the pivot for the general election.
What turnabout? This is who I've always been the whole time.
Well,
a lot of people say I'm the nicest guy they've ever met, and I like to think they're right.
I'm not sure that's true, but I just wanted to run this by you because the New York Times recently did a list. They've got an ongoing list that they keep track of the people, places, and things that you have insulted just on Twitter. This isn't even your speeches. These are things that you are so upset about that you will go to social media and complain about. And there are 258 of them so far, Mr. Trump.
That seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot. So can I just pull just randomly a few out of the things that you've tweeted about in the past and see if you've changed?
Just to say, if I have caused anyone any personal pain by tweeting something about them, that I am probably sorry.
Okay. How about Anderson Cooper from CNN? You have blasted him on Twitter, saying that he's the worst thing on the network.
Lovely, lovely man. He's terrific. A great, great newsman. Everyone says it. Everyone knows he's great. And what else can I say? But woohoo, hello, right?
What are you trying to say?
I was just saying hello to Anderson. Yoo-hoo!
Right.
Anderson.
It sounds like you're trying to throw some shade at him because he's gay, though, is how it came across to me.
I didn't even know that. Is that true?
Well, yeah. It's very commonly widely known. You did know that.
Well, I've been very busy, so maybe I didn't read the stories that day. I don't know.
All right.
Well, what about John McCain? You've said stuff, in speeches, but then on Twitter you've said, he's done nothing, I'm no fan.
I think John McCain is a hero.
Okay.
As much as a loser who gets caught can be a hero, he is that. He is all of that.
Ooh, that wasn't nice.
I'm sorry, first of all, that he was a loser who got caught. But secondly, I'm sorry if I caused him any personal pain, because I think he's great.
Well, it sounds like you're doing it again. All right, how about Whoopi Goldberg?
Whoopster.
You've called her terrible and very sad.
She's awesome, very talented lady, a national treasure on The View, and I can barely even smell her through my TV anymore. I think it's great.
Oh, Trump.
Penn Jillette, the great magician.
Oh, Trump?
I did.
Okay, I just want to make sure I heard that. Write that down for next time.
Penn Jillette, one of the great magicians in history.
Yes, musician and magician.
You said that he has the worst show in Las Vegas, and it is hokey garbage.
Oh, I think his show is dynamite. Everyone knows. A lot of people are saying, Donald, why are you always going to Penn Jillette's show? And I say it's because it's the best show in Vegas.
Oh.
And I think it's amazing that he's got that little brain-damaged guy who can't talk. It's amazing he gives him help.
That's his partner, Teller. Nope. He's fine.
When I fix the healthcare system in this country, we're going to get that guy talking again. I promise, okay?
He can talk. It's just part of the act. He just chooses not to talk.
I don't believe that because I've never seen it.
He's doing comedy mime work.
I've got the best doctors on my staff, and they all say, first of all, that he can't talk, and secondly, Hillary can't be president.
Can I ask you about someone that we all thought was a good friend of yours, the co-host of Morning Joe, Mika Brzezinski? You have said, very insecure, clown, neurotic, not very bright, mess.
Best. I meant best. I misspelled best as mess.
Oh.
But she's amazing. She's a terrific, terrific lady, and an amazing, certainly one of the best journalists ever to be ever on television.
Wow.
And I think a lot of people misjudge her by her horrible haircut and by the fact that she looks a little horsey.
Okay,
you have to
look
past that.
That's not a compliment.
Donald.
The talent and the quality that
she
has.
You were doing so good.
And
then you bring her looks
off
in.
By her horrible disfigurement.
Trump.
She is not disfigured.
All right, two more real fast, Mr. Trump, and then we'll let you get back to doing what you do.
Well, I appreciate you having me on because you guys are the best.
Are the best, right.
Best morning show. really, of anyone ever in whatever city it is you do it.
All right. T-Mobile. You said T-Mobile. I think their service is terrible. Have you changed your mind on that?
Best service ever. I'm calling you right now on a T-Mobile phone.
Oh, how about that?
Listen to the clarity of this.
It does sound good.
It's
all
amazing.
Right. And finally, Germany.
Oh, Germany. Great country.
Yeah.
First of all, the ShamWow, right? An amazing product came out of Germany.
Didn't. Right.
Okay. World War II, an amazing product came out of Germany, right?
Okay, we don't look at that as an amazing product.
A lot of the things the Germans did, especially in the late 30s, early 40s.
Whoa!
I think that was their best work.
That seems dangerous.
That's their sweet spot right there, I'll tell you.
No, I'm going to do you a favor and hang up and say thanks for being on, Mr. Trump.
But you didn't get to like that one reporter who was all, what about him? I got to say sorry to him, too, right?
You should have apologized to him a long time ago,
hey,
sir.
Hey, reporter, sorry.
Not making it better, Donald.
Sit down. The only thing I'll ever ask of you, you gotta promise not to stop when I say you.
Best man in the world right there, Dave Grohl on K-Rock, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. Ralph is here too. Time for Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Because it is Monday. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Don't Breathe. Story of Bean and a microphone.
Nope.
People being bothered by sounds. Made $26.1 million over the weekend. Really surprised a lot of people. They did not expect it would make that much money in its opening week, and considering it cost around $10 million to make, pretty good return on your investment. Suicide Squad was second with $12 million. Kubo and the Two Strings was third. Sausage Party and Mechanic Resurrection debuted to $7.5 million, making it number five. Pete's Dragon, War Dogs.
War Dogs.
Bad Moms, Jason Bourne, and Ben-Hur were the rest of your top ten at the box office this weekend. While you guys were talking about the VMAs, you forgot to mention the hilarious Jimmy Fallon. I don't know if you saw Jimmy Fallon's hilarious segment on the VMAs.
I did see that.
At what point do we say the Emperor has no clothes with this guy?
It played very well in the room.
Did it?
It did.
By the silence, you mean, with no one laughing?
They showed lots of people in the audience who were laughing, especially no one more than Michael Phelps.
Well, he was the one guy laughing because it was about Ryan Lochte. See, Ryan Lochte, Jimmy Fallon came out as Ryan Lochte, and he said he was lying about a lot of things. Because Ryan Lochte, you see, lied about that thing. So he's like he wrote the Justin Bieber song, I'm Sorry. First he came out and said, is it too late to say I'm sorry? See, because of that. And well, I'll just let you listen for yourself, because Bean's right. It's just hilarious stuff.
Okay.
Jam. That's my jam. It should be my jam. I wrote it. I wrote that song. I did it. I wrote it. I wrote it. I produced it. I directed the vidja. I did. It happened. In fact, I directed all five nominees for Video of the Year. What an amazing year I've had. It's true. I'm the one who gave Adele the flip phone. Hello? Irma Gerd, I got to call you back. I got a car waiting. I thought Drake...
Did you turn down the laughing?
No, all the room. You heard the room. Room was exploding.
Oh, I thought maybe you had different channels.
Allie, you heard in the room how the room loved it.
You're right.
The room just couldn't get enough of it. It played very well in the room,
Allie.
Are you
watching the same thing?
Listen to that room. Listen to how crazy that room went for him with all the laughter.
It is different when you...
listen to it?
When you listen to it, yes. Instead of watch it when you can see the people laughing in the audience and whatnot.
Yeah.
Did you find it funny, Bean?
No, I didn't. Okay. I'm not a Jimmy Fallon fan. I mean, I thought it was a clever idea, but it went on way too long, and he needed better punchlines for it.
Hello? Yeah. I call you back, you mean your fan? What does that mean? What?
I don't know.
Like Mike Myers-ish.
Yeah, it was.
But
yeah.
Not. Oh, dear. Oh, Trump.
No, it's not Trump. It's Fallon, Alex.
Sorry.
Fallon is the problem in this one. I'm just trying.
Ralph is disgusted.
It's just... I look at him and I say he's one of the most successful guys on television, and I just don't see it.
He has the number one late night show.
Is it me? Because when he comes out and says, I got my tight pants on, when he's doing that, I'm like, who is the person laughing at the guy singing over and over again, his pants are tight?
Have we? Is that what we're reduced to finally as a society?
I'm in the fan.
Is that guy? Yes. All hail him because he lip syncs with other people and he goes hello and he's got tight pants on. Is this the guy?
I think he's not threatening to 90% of the people.
And I think it's more than just not threatening. Look, I'm no Fallon fan either. He's the worst Jimmy in late night. But there is something I think people find endearing about how excited he is to be there, how enthusiastic
he
is,
how
happy,
how he laughs at his own jokes more than anyone else.
He's having a good time. It's a safe space for people to have a good time.
That's all that matters, as long as the audience is suffering.
Well, I'm just telling you, I think that's what a lot of people are looking for at that time of night. They're looking for somebody who's going to be fun.
Plus, he plays great in the room. Listen to the room.
Look, I only saw it on TV, and on TV, it looked like people were enjoying it. When I hear that audio, you know, that audio back, I didn't hear a lot of applause or laughter.
Hmm. All right, then. Today's celebrity birthdays. Elliot Gould is 78 years old today. Carla Gugino, 45 years old. Lea Michele turns 30. Liam Payne. Liam Payne's a singer, right?
Yeah, he's a One Direction kid.
I thought he might have been. I wasn't sure. There's so many Liams out there running around.
I did not know his last name was Payne.
The Zanes and the Liams and the Buckies and the...
Who's Bucky?
Slappo.
Name one
Slappo's
Bucky.
One of the other and One Direction guys, right? 23. And Courtney Stodden. I'm going to take her name off the list, I think.
Yeah, because we're just doing celebrities today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she really just... Because she was known once for being 16 and marrying a 50-year-old, and now she's 22. I think the statute of limitations has run out on that fame.
This is fame, bro!
Right? It's fame.
Hello, I'm in the phone. Hello, Adele. Give me a break here, people, okay? Give me a freaking break. $1 million.
That's why I said Mike Myers. It's
hello.
Weird.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tonight at 8 o'clock on NBC, it's the return of the American Ninja Warrior. It is, what do they call it, the first week of national finals, I think. And Jessie Graff will be on our TV tonight. She's on our radio this morning. Hey, Jessie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Allie and I were talking about this before you walked in. Would you be here if you just busted out, like, in the first 10 seconds, if it was a disaster for you tonight? Would you even be here promoting it? Probably not. So I'm going to guess you do great on the show tonight.
You know, you can never guess what's going to happen on that show. It's crazy. Like, every obstacle is like a booby trap, and you never know what to expect. So I don't know. I don't know if they would pick me, but they might.
It's the most insane show on television. Everyone I know that I have turned on to this show thinks it's one thing, and they turn it on, and it's something completely different, which is you are watching people do superhuman things that aren't possible, yet somehow you're able to do it.
Exactly.
I mean, are you in awe of the other contestants on this show, too?
Absolutely.
The way we are of you?
Oh, thank you. But yeah, the first time I competed, I really didn't know what I was getting into, and I saw these people just hanging from their fingertips and moving across a board that's like... 1 inch, maybe an inch and a centimeter. And I was just, I didn't know that was humanly possible.
No, neither did I.
Well, and also, you're upside down for most of that 1 inch holding on to that thing.
No, it's a different thing. You don't get to use your feet.
The thing that goes up and to the side?
That's the I-beam crossing.
Oh, this is different?
The cliffhanger, you don't even get to do your fingers in opposition and use your feet. You're hanging from a ledge the same size just by your fingers.
Okay,
like,
no.
Up. It's crazy.
They should not.
And you swing, and then you have to go like 3 feet to the side and 1 foot up. It's wild.
How do you even prepare for something like that?
Well, when I first got interested in that, I was like, oh, well, if people can do it, I must be able to do it. So right. I got on a door frame.
Isn't that the difference between you and the rest of us?
Right. I usually make that assumption and then try it. And I'm like, oh, okay, this takes a lot of hard work and training. And so that's exactly what I found. I hung from a ledge for about a second and a half and then fell on the ground and was like, okay, this is going to take me a while.
And you would just keep working up to more and more time?
Yeah, I would do a bunch of sets until my fingers were kind of shaky and I couldn't write. And then, you know, I'd give my muscles 2 days to rest, working other muscle groups, and go back to it. And the next day I'd get 5 seconds and then I'd go back. And
wow.
Then I'm up to like a minute and a half now.
That is
Hanging by your fingertips.
Almost impossible to believe. Almost impossible to believe. Okay, so let me back up for a second here. Before you got on the American Ninja Warrior, you already, you know, you're obviously lots of disciplines of mixed martial arts. You're a championship pole vaulter. You've been doing gymnastics since you were a little kid. You had a very successful career as a stunt woman. Why wasn't all of that enough? Why did you have to be on the American Ninja Warrior 2?
You know, I just did it for fun, but I've always been fascinated by these impossible challenges and as soon as I saw people doing it, it just, I got so inspired to try new things and learn and see how much stronger I could get. And I had so much fun and met so many cool people that I just wanted to keep going.
So you didn't do it. You're not doing it for the $1 million. That's a bonus.
Yeah. I don't think I even knew there was $1 million involved when I started doing it.
she's very different from us, Maine.
She really is.
Maybe polar opposite.
Right, because we asked the question, hey, what's in it for me if I'm going to do something as miserable as be on this show right there? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what you can do. And what have you learned about yourself, Jesse, in the process of being on all these American Ninja Warrior episodes? Have you surprised yourself? Are you doing way more than you would have ever thought possible?
I think so. I mean, I'm always striving for the impossible in whatever I'm doing, but this has been such a strange combination of all the skills that I've worked on since I was a little kid and just been fascinated with, and seeing how they all come together has been really exciting. Being able to keep up with the guys and beat a lot of them has been amazing, because I've done a lot of sports where, like in pole vaulting, the men's world record is like 3 or 4 feet higher than the women's world record. Mm-hmm. And so coming into a sport where there's so much technique and strategy and there's such a heavy mental game, and being able to play second at city finals was just unbelievable to me, because a lot of the guys I'm competing against, they're so much stronger than I am.
Watching it, there are times when I think, just seeing someone, I'm like, oh, he's going to go far. He's going to do it. And then they're out within a second. Is there a specific body type or a specific form of athleticism that gets you farther, whether it be rock climbing, upper body strength, that type of thing? Or is it just purely per person?
It's a combination of things. And I have noticed that the people who are maybe built for the obstacles best are people in the range of like 5'6" to maybe 5'11", a leaner build. But the biggest thing that's going to determine your success on the show is ability to improvise on the spot, to see, to look at an obstacle, have a strategy before you've touched it, because you don't get to touch any of the obstacles before you're competing.
You don't get to train on them at all.
No, absolutely not. They try to keep it hidden from us up to the night we're competing.
Oh my
so
God.
You basically, when you're preparing for another season, you train on things you've done in the past, right? You just train on the obstacles you've seen already that you know.
Yes. A lot of people train at Ninja Warrior gyms on obstacles all the time. I do most of my training as very straightforward conditioning, sprints, squats, stairs, pull-ups, rock climbing, because for me, the hard part is building the strength to do it. Whereas a lot of people, like professional rock climbers, for example, are strong enough to do it. They're just working on adaptability and being able to navigate the weird obstacles.
Wow.
Those pictures that I've seen of what I think is your living room, Jesse, are insane. I mean, it looks like you live in a gym.
Yes. When I was buying a house, I was debating between getting a warehouse gym and making a small apartment in the corner, or getting a house and converting most of it into a gym. And it was just, which one do we find a better deal on first?
Isn't that insane? So what do you have in your living room that you can actually work out on, maybe even while you're watching TV at night?
Oh, always while I'm watching TV. we have wall-to-wall mats, a rock climbing wall, rings, a heavy bag, one of those like Bob kicking guys for martial arts stuff.
This is in her living room, Allie.
Right.
A squat rack, a bench press.
Do you have a couch?
That's in like the den.
Oh.
I guess, yeah. Okay. We do have
a couch. So you do allow yourself to sit down sometimes?
You know, I hate sitting. I find it very uncomfortable. I'm behaving now because I feel like I should.
Wow, we are very different.
You're the opposite. You're flip side of the same coin.
I prefer laying on the floor. I have a foam roller and I'll like lay on it and do the self-massage stuff. It's so good.
Is there ever a time where, like, you strike me as the type of person who's doing curls while she's driving in, you know, just because she always needs to be moving. Is there ever a time where you just splat. You just veg out. It just sit down and eat a bag of Doritos and watch TV.
Definitely. My pig helps me do that. I'm not, I mean, sitting Simo. Still. Yeah. Samo's really good at helping me relax. But one of my favorite feelings is when you've had such a hard workout that you just collapse in a pile and just lay there and watch TV.
Well, I'm happy at least. I was worried that you never sleep. I was worried that that's you, Jesse.
Oh my gosh, no. Sleep is so important.
How many hours a night do you get?
I almost always get 8 hours a night.
Okay, finally you guys have something in common.
Yes. Oh, that sounds great.
Jesse Graff is here. She's a finalist on the American Ninja Warrior. It returns tonight for season 8. It's so outstanding, you guys. It airs tonight on NBC. We have many more questions for Jesse, if you can stick around for one more, because we haven't even talked about all the crazy stunt work that you've done for years now in movies and TV, and I'm so interested in that, too. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Rockin' Tours on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Jesse Graff in studio with us now. She is a finalist for American Ninja Warrior, returning for season 8, is that right? Season 8 already?
Yeah.
Wow. How many seasons have you been on, Jesse?
3. I did 5, 7, and 8.
What's the I want to talk about the stunt doubling here in a second, but what's the how is it the competition spirit between you competitors? Do you root for each other or are you mortal enemies?
Oh my gosh, we root for each other so much. I was really surprised my first time because I had no exposure to the community prior. But I remember being at the Warped Wall and having this row of ninjas just cheering me on and coaching me and explaining the technique of it.
Wow.
And they were like, have you ever done a salmon ladder? Well, here's how it works. And so they were giving me drills to learn how to do a salmon ladder on the sidelines because everyone legitimately wants everyone else to do well. It's really us against the course versus
that is
each other.
Very cool.
It's amazing.
All right. We talked about a few minutes ago, you started out as a little kid into gymnastics. You wanted to join the circus, right? Mm-hmm. That was your first dream, is I want to be a circus performer.
Yep.
Then you went into martial arts, and you got your black belt in taekwondo, and you're proficient in all kinds of kung fu and everything like that. And then the pole vaulting happening, and then the gymnast stuff happened. And then how did you get to be a stunt woman? Like, how does one even start to get a job like that?
Well, I've known since I was about 12 that I wanted to be an action hero on TV. And at the time, it was Xena. And so I'd mimic everything I saw her doing on the show, running around in the woods in Pennsylvania. I took acting classes then, and I majored in theater. And I was in my last year of college when I found out that actors don't usually get to do their own stunts. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it, and I was like, okay, well, given the choice between starring in a huge action movie but not getting to do the stunts, or doubling that actress, and no one knows who I am, but I get to do all these superhero things, I knew that I would choose that one, and just really went for it.
Wow. That's rare. I would think most people would go for the, you know, face in front of the camera.
You know, and I would love to do both, mm-hmm. but at the beginning of my career, there's such different pathways, totally different networking areas,
right.
that it's hard to train and be good at what you do and do networking for two different industries at the same time. And so I went with stunts.
How do you even start with becoming a stunt woman? I would think there's going to be classes for it, but do you have to get to know other stunt people and just train under them, mentor?
We train at a lot of open gyms, and so I did a lot of research. I was kind of a nerd in school, and so I just applied that same energy to reading about it online, and I met a couple stunt people, and they gave me a few tips on how to meet other stunt people and where the stunt people trained, and there was a magazine called Inside Stunts and all these online directories, and so I would study directories of, like, who are the stunt people, what are their skills, where did they train, and what gyms do all the stunt people train at, and I signed up at all of them and just went from one to the next all day, every day, and I would go to sets in between and meet the stunt coordinators, and it was just, I was so in love with all of it, and just all I want to do all the time is train and get better at different exciting skills.
I feel like you set your mind to something and there's no way you're not going to be the best at it. Is that just, have you been that way your whole life?
It's definitely the mentality that I take to it. And honestly, I'm usually not the best at whatever. I mean, I've done so many different things and I'm usually in the middle of the pack. And I'm just lucky that all these different things that I did came together on one show.
Wow. By the way, when you talk about doing different things, let me just run a list of some of the things that you have appeared in as a stunt person. And you talk about variety. Bridesmaids, X-Men First Class, Modern Family, Sons of Anarchy. I mean, could these be any more different? Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You're in Kevin Smith's Yoga Hosers.
Oh, my gosh. That was so much fun.
Your friend Kevin is coming in here in like 20 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. In
He's coming
minutes?
In here today. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
And Ralph Garman, who you sat with in the other room, is, you know, Kevin's best friend and is also in the movie, too.
I know. It's,
so it's like a Yoga Hosers
reunion.
Reunion here today. So you doubled for his daughter, Harley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there a lot of stunts in the film?
We had a lot of fun stuff to do. I mean, the yoga fight stuff was my favorite. I think that was the majority of what we did.
Have you ever been thrown through a plate glass window on film?
Yeah, a third story plate glass. Well, plate glass. What is plate glass? Mine was candy glass with some window panes.
Candy glass is the Hollywood version because yeah. It breaks and doesn't kill you, right?
Yeah, it shatters. You usually get little cuts, but it breaks into tiny pieces, and it's made out of sugar. So if it were to get lodged somewhere, it dissolves.
So you can eat it after the stunt, then?
I think it would taste really weird. I haven't tried to eat it before.
Did you literally go through the window, then down three floors? It wasn't just like a 2-foot drop for TV?
No, because the camera was on the outside.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was fun. I got to do a flip with a twist on the way down.
Well, you got it.
Yeah.
have you done motorcycle or horse stunts?
I haven't done horse. Well, I've trained horse stunts, but I haven't done them in a movie. But I've done a lot of basic motorcycle work in. I did a little bit in Transformers. That was really fun.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
When you were on Supergirl, were you stunting for Supergirl?
Not usually. Shauna Duggins doubles Melissa in Supergirl.
Okay.
I got to double Bizarro Supergirl and
nice.
Maxima. and I played a Kryptonian.
What a life you have, Jesse. What a life.
It's so much fun.
Will you wear your Wonder Woman costume on TV tonight?
I can't. They assign each region a color, and we were green. So I went with more of a Green Lantern look. I drew on a little Green Lantern ring with a Sharpie, but I don't think you can ever see it.
somebody needs to see you on TV and learn about you and cast you as a superhero on television, Jesse. That needs to happen.
I vote yes on this.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Right?
Yeah.
That totally needs
to happen.
Start
a petition.
All right. We're almost out of time. Give us a preview of what we will see tonight. I know you can say very little about the outcome, but what can you tell us a little bit about, anything you can about the course or whatever?
Well, it's an exciting new course. I mean, the first obstacle is really interesting because it gives you so many different options. That's probably the one that I was most stressed about because there's the conservative way that seems pretty safe, but it's a lot slower. And then there's like a crazy fast way, but it's really risky and you have to jump really far and things wobble. And then there's like medium in between and which one do you want to take? And indecision can throw you off like crazy. So that one was nerve-wracking, but just every obstacle there was so tricky.
I'm glad you brought up the mental aspect of the game because that is one of the things that is most impressive. Every time I've seen you on the show is you make a split decision going from thing to thing because it would be really easy to take your time deciding how you're going to attack the next one. For whatever reason, your instincts seem to always point you in the right direction.
I think it's a lot of, I mean, the stunt training really helps with that because we're going to, you know, maybe if we're lucky, we have a rehearsal day and we do this whole fight scene. And then the next day you show up on set and they're like, okay, so instead of an open room, you're now in a hallway and here's all the furniture and your skinny jeans and stilettos. Good luck.
Sure.
And so it's like adjusting to this kind of thing. And then right when we're about to roll, they're like, oh, I want you to throw this punch instead of taking it and just add this thing. And we're like, oh
my
okay,
gosh.
Ready, go.
So, can you hear Matt and Akbar as you're going through the course?
Only at the top of the warped wall. That's most of the time they're too far away.
Okay.
So that's one of my favorite parts watching the show afterwards
Hysterical.
Is hearing what they say.
Yeah. Because they are going nuts for you. It's so fun to watch.
I love them. They're so much fun. Yeah.
Well, it's a great show, you guys. NBC Season 8 tonight at 8 o'clock. Look for our friend and root for our friend Jesse Graff. And hopefully you complete the course. Hopefully you win the $1 million. Hopefully you come back another time and bring Sammo with you.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Thanks, Jesse. We enjoyed
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fitz. Thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Tantrums. It's 106.7 K-Rock. It is KROQ here on a Monday morning. There are two ways to look at it when you cheat death. One is how incredibly lucky you are, and the other is why do I have such bad luck that I was in that position that I almost died? They're flip sides of the same coin, I think.
Do you look at it as luck?
Yes, I think so. I think so. But I mean, like, I see stories all the time, for instance, somebody who was in the terror attacks in Paris and then is also in the terror attacks in Orlando. You know, somebody like that. Do you look at them as going, wow, they're so lucky that they lived through two things and survived? Or do you look at that as how unlucky does a person have to be involved in both of those incidents? You know,
also, I don't want to hang out with that person ever.
Right. There's some of that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a man who made the news this week. His name is, if I could find it, Kyle Cook. His name is Kyle Cook. He lives in Lakeland, Florida. And he has had three incidents in the last 4 years that could have killed him. He was struck by lightning. He was bitten by a venomous spider. Almost lost his hand in that case, by the way. And he was attacked by a rattlesnake in his backyard.
He needs to stay in.
And the only reason he didn't get more seriously injured by the rattlesnake is because he's a fat ass. And apparently the snake did not puncture his layers of fat to get the poison into his bloodstream. But, I mean, what's going on with Kyle Cook?
Yeah. He makes me nervous.
He makes me nervous, too. So let's find out more about why this dude is having such bad luck. We have Mr. Cook on the phone with us from Lakeland, Florida right now. Hi, Kyle. Welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show, sir. How are you?
I want to thank you for that kind introduction. That was great. Especially the fat ass part. Thank you so much.
Well, what I meant was, in this case,
I know what you meant. It was all too clear what you meant. And just go get on with it.
A self-professed bigger guy.
That's right.
Cook said doctors told
him to say self-professed fat ass.
All right.
Say that.
Okay. The snake's fangs did not penetrate beyond the layer of fatty tissue. So I guess I saw that and thought fat ass. I apologize. I didn't mean to offend you, Kyle.
Who could be offended by that?
All right. So how about when you were struck by lightning? How did that happen? And what did that feel like, Kyle?
That weren't no good. It was, I would say, people, it was like Mike Tyson hitting me with a jackhammer in the jaw.
Oh, wow.
The lightning struck a puddle of water where I was driving a sweeper truck and went up through the sweeper's metal bristles and then hit my left hand and knocked me backward about 6 feet before I woke up about a minute later after I was unconscious.
Unconscious by lightning. I mean, that is a thing that kills a lot of people every year, lightning does.
Absolutely. The doctor say had hit me more directly, wouldn't have been such a good turnout.
Did you just feel lucky to be alive?
It's like, oh, I'm the luckiest man in the world right now.
Do you live your life any differently?
No.
Okay.
No, I just go about my business, and that's when I got bit by the rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit by the brown recluse spider.
Right. It was a brown recluse spider. And by the way, Kyle, you lost your job because of how much time you had to take off because of the spider bite.
Yeah, they had to drain the wound. I had a lot of buildup of toxins, Doc said. It became very painful, so I couldn't really work
okay.
so much.
So the spider and the lightning, and then you were just mowing the lawn one day, and you stepped on a snake, and then you had to go to poison control, the whole deal.
Yeah,
all right.
You know, my whole life, I got bit by an alligator once.
An alligator?
Yeah. I caught it while I was fishing and brought it up in the boat and it bit me.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know about that.
I was bitten by a friend's Burmese python that I was trying to feed. I was trying to give him a mouse, and he thought my hand, I guess, was better, tastier looking.
Right, you got to stay away from snakes on purpose. The
I
way
do. I just stay away from everything now. I just go about my...
Oh, Kyle! What? Kyle, what happened?
Hello! Hello! Lightning! Lightning!
Oh, not again!
No!
Oh, that hurt. I'm just going to take a rest and sit down and clean my machine gun.
Oh, no! Oh.
Kyle, be careful. Come on.
No.
You shouldn't be around guns.
Oh, those bullets just missed my head.
Oh, thank God.
I'm so lucky. I'm just going to cut down a tree in my front yard with my chainsaw, I think. Just...
No!
Why are you doing that, Kyle? Come on.
Oh, no.
Be careful.
My foot, ow.
Oh, the chainsaw hit your foot?
Yeah, ow.
What about the tree, though? Where's the tree?
The tree went over, finally. Okay. I was glad to say it, but it had a bee's nest in it.
Oh, no.
My foot, my lightning.
Oh,
hey,
Kyle.
What's this thing here?
A guillotine!
A guillotine!
Someone put a guillotine on my lawn. I didn't see that coming whatsoever.
Oh, is that a rabid dog?
It's a rabid dog!
Oh, no!
He's attracted to the blood from the...
Oh, Kyle, get inside.
I can't move. I can't. Hey, help me. Trying to wave down a car and it ran over me.
Oh, no.
It's so unexpected and completely painful. I'm very lucky to be alive. There's a war breaking out.
Oh, right there in your yard. What are the chances? Kyle? You're right? Oh, no. Kyle.
Kyle?
Uh-oh. This is not good.
No. Wow.
I don't just want to hang up on him without knowing he's okay.
We should wait.
And this war just broke out in his neighborhood.
Oh.
They missed me by that much.
Here's Green Day. The new album coming out in October here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous Kerrick. It is 7:54. Ralph Garman, your friend Kevin Smith is going to be joining us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour.
That's the rumor.
Looking forward to that. Always love catching up with Kevin. First, so time for the Showbiz Beat. What's new?
We always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday morning. Don't Breathe, in its debut, surprised even its most ardent fans by making $26.1 million this weekend. Making it number one, kicking Suicide Squad out of that number one slot. Down to number two, Suicide Squad made $12 million. Kubo and the Two Strings, third at the box office. Then Sausage Party and Mechanic Resurrection debuted with $7.5 million, made it number five. Pete's Dragons? No, just the one. The sequel will be Pete's Dragons when they add more dragons. War Dogs, Bad Moms.
Warthogs.
Jason Bourne, Ben-Hur. Top 10 movies at the box office. Lost a couple good ones over the weekend. Harry Fujiwara. Better known to wrestling fans as Mr. Fuji, died on Sunday morning. He was 82 years old, had a great run in professional wrestling, spent upwards of 30 years with the WWE, both as a manager for other wrestlers and, of course, being in the ring himself. And he would dress up in his black tuxedo and his bowler hat, looking like Oddjob from Goldfinger, and then throw salt in his opponent's eyes. Ah! And they'd be blind and they'd be all over the ring. He'd beat him up.
I love that so much.
He was the best. And also passing away over the weekend was legendary Mexican singer-songwriter Juan Gabriel. Juan Gabriel passed away Saturday of a massive heart attack. He was a legend in Mexico, selling more than 100 million records in his career. He had his 13th studio album, was the best-selling Latin album for 2015, a six-time Grammy nominee as a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and just, as I mentioned, a legend in Mexican music from the 70s all the way up until this past weekend when he passed away. After giving a sold-out concert at the Forum, here is a little, if you're not familiar with his work, here's a little sound from Juan Gabriel.
Querida. No me ha sanado bien la herida. Te extraño y lloro todavía.
He was, in many ways, kind of like a combination of Prince and Springsteen for Mexican music. He was sometimes asexual on stage, dressed up very flamboyantly, but was loved by women and had four kids, although he was never married. And then he would give these marathon, just knockout concerts of people who just love to attend. So, sad news when he passed away at the age of 66 over the weekend. And speaking of Springsteen, it's kind of crazy that last week he gave the longest concert of his career at over 4 hours when he was in Jersey doing a hometown concert at MetLife Stadium. But another detail came to light over the weekend, which I thought was pretty cool. He saw someone down in the front row proposing to his girlfriend during the show. And so Springsteen stopped the show and said, "You need to come up here and do it," and made them get up on stage. Bruce then handed the young man the mic, and the guy said to his girlfriend, "You're my best friend. I love you more than anyone else in the world. I love you more than music itself. Hell, I love you more than Bruce. Sorry, Bruce." And Bruce was like, "What?" He was very upset with that. And the guy proposed to the girl, and she said no. So
what?
That was kind of a bummer.
What?
No, she said yes. And then Bruce invited him to dance to
Jersey Girl at the end, and he was singing, and then fireworks came after it. Ah, he couldn't ask for a better proposal, and there's no way that their marriage will live up to that night. So
ever.
I feel bad for them.
Yeah, they've already peaked as a couple.
They're done. That's as good as it gets. Today's celebrity birthday is Elliot Gould, one of my favorites. MASH, The Long Goodbye. I mean, just the movies this guy's been in.
He was part of the Ocean's 11, 12, and 13 crew, too, wasn't he?
He was,
Elliot
indeed.
Gould, yeah.
And, of course, Ray Donovan. See Ray Donovan last night, Alan?
Of course. Right?
Man.
Oh, that show is so good.
Oh, Russians are so scary.
So scary.
Like Gould, 78 years old today.
And art.
And art, right?
Art is terrifying.
How about art?
Oh.
Carla Gugino is 45 years old today. She doesn't mean a guy named Art, by the way. She just means paintings.
Yes.
She's scared of paintings.
They will get you killed.
Lea Michele is 30 years old today. And singer Liam Payne of One Direction turns 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I've been waiting a long time to say this. Finally, we have a Kevin on the Kevin and Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Smith is here, joining us in studio on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Smith. How are you?
Everyone got hopeful for 1 second. They're like, oh, finally, Kevin's here to save the day. And they're like, not the fat Kevin.
They heard you put a sentence together and said, oh, now we know which Kevin it is. Now we know.
Let me mention again for folks who have been concerned, and we do hear from people. Kevin is fine. He's just been on vacation, and he'll be back tomorrow.
How long has he been away?
Like two weeks.
Just nine shows. But
anyone get any proof of life? Does he send you pictures with photos of the newspaper headline with a date on it and stuff?
It's funny you should say that, Mr. Smith, because when Kevin is on vacation, he is underground. Like, you don't hear a peep from him. There's not a tweet.
So when Kevin's on vacation, he acts like you when you're not on vacation. Just unfindable underground in a shed somewhere, just like a furry.
The opposite. When Bean's on vacation, we get more emails from him, more tweets, and we're like, this is our chance to get a break from you. Take a minute. Just go someplace else. But no.
I would never even ask for a vacation if I had a job like this. You know it's no secret that this is all I want. If they give me a damn radio job, I'd stop inflicting those terrible movies on people. But I just came from Sirius XM. I got to sit in for Opie and Jimmy because they're away for today and Wednesday.
Were you replacing both guys?
Both guys. One man. Two dudes. I brought Andy McAlphers with me, so I have somebody to talk to.
So what did you talk about for 3 hours on your show, Kevin?
Like, just anything. I opened with this. I woke up with this thought. Okay, so remember The Exorcist?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got The Exorcister coming.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Ralph taught me that. But The Exorcist
Tyler
movie.
Perry's new Halloween movie.
Is called The Exorcist.
The Exorcist.
No, it's not.
That is an excellent title. And anybody that tries to crap on
that.
Is
that
a Madea Halloween, The Exorcist.
That is how nobody thought to do Exorcist before that. That's smart. Hats off to Tyler Perry. It's funny. Yes. Right?
Hallelujah. I'm going to get
right.
those.
Free preview.
I'm going to get them ghosts. They're sure scary.
Free preview right there.
Hallelujah.
I put money up for that. That's good.
So you wake up this morning and you think about The Exorcist.
I'm thinking
why?
About The Exorcist. Remember the moment in the movie where the devil, through the little girl, says to Father Karras, he's just like, your mother's in here with this Karras. Would you like to send a message to her? Something like that. And then later in the movie, he sees his mom and the little girl. Like, he looks over and it's her, his mom speaking to him. I said it was Italian. They're Greek.
Damien, why?
Yes,
why
Damien, what?
Me, Damien.
One of the most horrifying points in the movie.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning, I could not shake it, and I haven't watched it in eons, but I had this thought. Is his mom really in hell, or do you think the devil was just playing with him, lying?
Oh, no, the devil is tapping into his subconscious and knows of his love for his mother, so he's using his greatest weakness against him.
Can I submit that it could possibly be both?
Sure, I suppose, if she was like a real bitch.
Doesn't that make it horrifying, though? That's even worse. Like, that's scary, man. The notion that his mom was in hell and the devil's like, I could tell you that. And, like, show him his mom. That's all I could think about this morning. Usually I wake up, try to masturbate. Couldn't.
But, Kevin, why?
I couldn't because I was obsessed with this thought. Is Karras's mom in hell or no?
But why, what makes you wake up thinking about a 45-year-old movie?
I don't know. I guess because I got Yoga Hosers coming out, my old movie.
Kevin,
and
I'm
so I'm trying to think
lie.
Of better,
and
earlier
Kevin's
movies.
Like 45, yeah. Seven, all kinds of
it all comes
the last
together.
Time you were on, you talked about your mother and masturbation.
Always
the
happens.
Last time.
Look, I just saw my mom this week, and I talked to her about masturbation. So
that's
I'm
why you
course.
Got mom on the mind.
That's right. There it is all coming together. No, I'll tell you why I got mom on the mind. Mom went into the hospital earlier last week, and I put up an Instagram about it and stuff. And then she got out, and I took her shopping. She was, you know, mom's 70, and she was in the hospital, and she was feeling kind of poorly because of it. Like, you know, not that she's physically poorly to get there in the first place, but more the, I hate being old because of this. You hear that, and you're like, oh, man. So I was like, let's young it up. And we went to the mall to Hot Topic.
Mom's favorite place.
She'd
never been there before, but she's adorable. She's like, this is like Spencer's. Like, I was like, you're right. Spencer, it's like an upscale
with
Spencer's.
With fewer blacklight posters.
Yeah, it's like a less masturbate-y Spencer's. Because remember they had all the sex toys at Spencer's?
Yeah.
So we get her some shirts. She's like, you pick them out, Tiger. And so I got her. There's a red shirt, and it had the Netflix font, and it just said "End Chill" across the chest.
Aww.
And she's like, "What's that mean?" I was like, "You're gonna find out. You wear that out in public." And I got her an Alan Rickman as Snape shirt, says "Always," because she met him when we were making Dogwood back in the day, so right. She knew him. And a couple other shirts. She, you know, my mom's a cat sweater wearing person, so you know, it was like, here, if you're gonna wear a picture on your chest, don't make it be random kittens playing with yarn. You're gonna be made fun of. Wear this shirt, so at least you're in on the joke and stuff.
You took your mother shopping at Hot Topic,
and then I Facebook lived it as well because my cousin works at the place. She's the assistant manager, so I said, "Can I clerk? I haven't done this in so long, man." And so I got beyond the register and rang someone up, and then I rang my mom up, and we shot it for Facebook Live. It was a good time. But anyway, I did get a discount. Thanks to my cousin,
deep.
Man. Deep. Yeah, it was like 40%. I was like, why am I paying ridiculous, like, rube prices, like retail, like everybody else? I got an in on that.
I know who I am.
What does your 70-year-old mother think of your films, Kevin?
She is, she's a fan now.
Kevin,
in the beginning,
why are you abandoning me so much like that and making the Walrus movie?
That's
why
what I see on the bed when I wake up, and I'm like, no! It's genius. Why, Kimmy? Why, Tiger? You're making the movie about the Walrus.
Why, little Nazi hot dog people?
Get out of my head, mother!
This got tense. So she's a fan now.
She does. In the beginning, like, for one of the first review my mom ever gave me of one of my works was Clerks. And she watched it, and she said, this is a quote, and my mom, she goes, stop telling that story, Tiger. But I'm like, it's truth. She goes, you spent $28,000 on that piece of garbage? And my immediate response was, no, I spent $27,575. We didn't spend $28,000.
Right.
And I was victorious. Victorious. I was victorious. Victorious von Doom. So in any event, she in the beginning, she was very, like, you know, she, mom's very Catholic.
She's
she
in
don't
that
curse.
Movie.
She's in it, too. She was like, I'm embarrassed that I was there. She's very Catholic, so the cursey aspect of the film was not in tune with who she was. And she was very concerned. She was like, everyone's going to think that we raised you with a potty mouth and stuff. So now, like, you know, I think it was maybe by the Mallrats she liked. She's like, oh, I showed it to her. I was like, what did you think? She's like, I liked it that you and Jay got to run around. You need more of that. So she liked that it was more of a calisthenic movie for me.
Sure.
Chasing Amy, though, she cried. I showed her Chasing Amy, she cried. And not because she's like, my son's a terrible filmmaker. She was very moved by
that. That was your grown-up movie. That was for everyone.
That was the first kind of grown-up movie. But if you remember, it's about a guy who falls in love with a lesbian. And so my mom, at the end of the movie, she was crying. I was like, oh, Ma, why? Why'd you? What got you? And my mom goes, I identify with that movie in ways you'll never understand. And I was like, holy cow.
Wow.
We got to sit down and have a chit-chat.
Or not.
Yeah. No, I don't know
if I want to know those
You've
details.
Been down some strange hallways, so to speak, Mother.
How about Zach and Miri? What'd she think of that?
She thought it was nice, but she was like, it's so dirty, Tiger. And I was like, yeah, but that's the porno's in the title right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have
but
to warn
her. She honestly, like, you know, once she saw others react to my stuff, because she's from an older school, so Clerk's right over her head. But once she saw people reacting to the work and to, like, me in general, it, you know, she flipped the script. Like, I remember,
it was validated a little bit.
Oh, good Lord. The moment here, I could pinpoint the moment where my mother turned, where it turned to the positive. Like, yay, Kevin. Yay, Tiger. It was, we were doing an interview at the Clerks premiere. It wasn't a big premiere. It was just a small premiere that Miramax had at their screening room. And then we had a little party at the Pig and Whistle down the street. This is in Manhattan. And then Lower Manhattan. And so my mom came up, and Entertainment Tonight came. And so they interviewed me, and I said, can I pull my mom into this? And they were like, oh, my God, of course. They're like, that's great TV. So I pulled my mom in, and my mom's like, what is this now? And I was like, Mom, we're going to talk to Entertainment Tonight. They're going to ask you questions. And you saw, like, that, like, I've arrived. Like, my mother just swept by the fame monster and, like, offering her good side to camera. And what I love about my mother, she's been doing this forever. She's consistent my whole life. My mother always tries to speak above her station in life. So do I. But my mom's is a little more obvious than me. So she sounds like she's trying to sound like a college professor.
Putting on airs just a little
bit? Just a touch, yeah. Man. So when she was interviewing, she was going, you know, well, I appreciate the mind that he's showing and putting out there for people to see. I represent Mexico with the mind. What is she saying?
She's getting fancy.
But she was getting fancy, and she loved it. Afterwards, she saw it on TV, and all her friends were like, Grace, I saw you on TV with Kevin, blah, blah, blah. So I think that was the moment she's like, all right, this is good.
Sweet.
You could curse. Yeah.
That felt good.
It was. It was good.
Kevin Smith is here, podcaster, producer, writer, actor, author. The new movie is called Yoga Hosers.
Ralph's in it.
Ralph is in it. We're going to talk all about it when we return because it's a Yoga Hosers premiere party. Tomorrow night is the big night. It's not in theaters everywhere yet, right?
September 2nd, theaters everywhere. But tomorrow night, there's this Fathom Events screening where the first half hour of the movie is an intro by me that we shot at a recent screening. And then the movie kicks in. So you get a little extra.
I'll tell you more about that and talk Yoga Hosers with Kevin Smith when we return right after this on camera. Hey, where's the You're Killing Me Larry movie, Kevin Smith? That's what the America needs, right?
I'm all for it. Can I stick a walrus in it?
Sure,
that's all I do now.
Director Kevin Smith in studio with us here on the Kevin Beach Show. One thing I have learned about Mr. Smith over the many, many years that he's been kind enough to grace us here on the Kevin Beach Show with his presence is that no one promotes his own movies less and worse than Kevin Smith does. Like, he'd be happy to sit here all day and never mention that Yoga Hosers is actually coming out this weekend, but I'm not going to allow that to happen. Yoga Hosers premiere party, as you mentioned, is going to be tomorrow night. It's going to be at fathomevents.com. Theaters all over Southern California. Are you going to any of them, Kevin? You're going to be showing up in person in any of them?
See, man, that is what a pro sounds like. You know what I'm saying? I always fancy myself a talker, and I'm like, I wish I had a radio job. But that was so artful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He like, does the nuts and bolts stuff very well.
Damn, Bean. There's a reason you're in that HOF, son.
You're very kind. You're very kind. All right. So
I was so lost by the eloquence of that I didn't even know what the question was.
He wants
was.
To know if you're going to show up at any of the screenings for the Fathom events tomorrow night.
Oh, that was a question. I know the one locally, they're doing it at the Chinese. I don't know if it's at the big Chinese.
There's some in the Valley, too. I think there's one in Burbank.
Burbank 16. Yeah, Chinese 6 is going to be there. But it's everywhere. It's Irvine Spectrum. It's Long Beach. It's Century City. It's Montebello, Ontario Mills. You're all over the Southland.
Look at him. Yeah. Dropping names. Listen, maybe, what are you doing? Maybe we'll go together and we'll Facebook Live it, going from theater to theater, showing people how empty the theaters are. Like, watch our misery as we see two people in a 300-seater.
I got nothing tomorrow night. Let's just
Kevin Smith movies, they don't make bank, man. And this movie is wonderful. I love this movie. It's a kid's movie for an audience. I can't even really go see it. But it's also, you know, it's rarefied taste.
You are intentionally...
I'm used to walking into... I remember on Tusk, there were a lot of tweets from people going like, this theater is empty. Is this part of the experience?
Oh,
I'm like, yeah, it makes it creepier.
We want you to make yourself alone and full of solitude.
You think you're scared.
This.
I'm reading about empty theaters. I'm terrified.
But, Kevin, tell me about that because you've got this trilogy. It's going to be a trilogy of films.
Yes,
right?
True North trilogy.
Of movies that you know are for that have limited appeal for the mainstream. And you're fine with that. And there's nothing wrong with artistically following your muse and doing whatever it is you want to do. But what's the plan here, son?
Yeah, when do we get to the point of all this? I think, well, it's a True North trilogy, right? We did Tusk first, and it didn't mean to be a trilogy, but suddenly I was like, ooh, I want to do another one. So, and then you know you have to do a third. That's right. What we do here in America, threes.
Yes.
So Tusk begat Yoga Hosers, and Yoga Hosers is about the two little girls behind the register at the convenience store in Tusk. And the girls have their own adventure. It's kind of like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, if you remember that play or movie, where you take two characters from Hamlet.
Two minor
like
characters from a
four
big
lines,
thing and then
give them
their
own
shot.
Thing. Yeah. And a movie's very much like an 80s cable horror movie. I always go like, it's like Clueless meets Gremlins. And people are like, Gremlins is good. So I'm like, it's Clueless meets Critters. And like, Critters rocks. I'm like, damn it. It's like Clueless meets Puppet Master 9. They're like, all right. So that's kind of what it's like. Like, whereas Tusk was a Hammer House of Horror homage, this is more of an homage to the 80s horror movies that I grew up watching on cable and also the Full Moon films, which I watched a lot of on video. So the last one in the trilogy is called Moose Jaws. That's just Jaws, but with a moose instead of a shark. Most straight. See, hear that laugh?
Yep.
I'm telling you, when
Chip
I tell
go.
People,
Chip will go.
We sold the
go.
Ticket to Chip.
Yep.
Whenever I talk about Tusk, whenever I used to tell the story, it's like, my God, turns another guy into a walrus. People go, really? And some people would smile. Yoga Hosers is even more baffling. So it's like, I'm like, it's about two little girls that fight 1 foot tall Canadian Nazis made a bratwurst called Bratzies. They're like, geez. Moose Jaws, though, I don't care who you are. I mean, even the hardest, hardcore Kevin Smith hater. When I say, like, it's like Jaws with a moose instead of a shark, I don't care who you are, everyone goes, and I think that's going to be
one laugh, you know, they're going to get out of them.
I'm telling you,
at least one.
That's the bridge to success. Like, Tusk, very rarefied viewing, you know, it's a weird movie. Yoga Hosers is also kind of rarefied viewing, unless you grew up watching full moon movies like me and stuff. You might recognize this, but it's a movie about two girls, two little girls. Like, this is a tween girl movie. It's aspirative and stuff. But Moose Jaws, I honestly feel in my heart of hearts that that will be the highest grossing movie I've ever made.
That's the one.
I'm calling it. Like, Babe Ruth pointed out to that one field and was like, I'm going to hit it there. And then he hit it someplace there.
Yes.
I think that's the story.
And the kid died.
And then the kid died, but still, it all worked out. And then he hit the ball and it hit the lights and he ran slow.
No, that
was
the natural.
That was
the natural. You're confused.
My bad.
You're confused.
Yeah. My bad. And then he was like, at one point, he's like, how do you like them apples? And they were like,
that was Goodwill Hunting.
Damn it. Yeah. I'm confusing all these movies. In any event, I'm calling it right now. I think Moose Jaws has the potential. I'm not even going to say potential. Done right, I think we can.
Oh, so someone else is going to direct it.
Yeah. Oh, if somebody else handles it, the directing choice, he's absolutely right.
So how what did you say when you sat down? I said, no one promotes his movies worse than Kevin Smith. So here's what you've done is you've taken that and you've spoken for 4 minutes and you've ended up at, not this one, but the next one, guys, is really going to be good.
This one's awesome, but, you know.
I think you're underselling this.
I'm
not just saying it because I'm in it. I think this film will be one of those films. Obviously, it probably won't have a big opening weekend because a lot of people won't even know it's out there. But as the word of mouth gets around, especially, I think, with young girls who like seeing other young girls kick ass and take names and sort of take charge of their lives, I think this is the kind of film that will have a long life that people will enjoy for many years.
You sell the movie very well. It was always a thought of mine going in that, like, well, look, I'm Kevin Smith, so I'm used to a Kevin Smith box office. This is the part of the movie life that I enjoy the absolute least. For most filmmakers, it's the aim. I can't wait to get this into a movie theater. But I've been doing this for 2 decades plus, and I know what happens when I go into a movie theater. Nothing special. So at the end of the day, this is like my, like every movie release for me is like my Good Friday, where it's like, here it comes. I'm going to get betrayed by Peter and I'm crucified. But, you know, my
in 3 days, I'll live again.
And that's it. The 3 days later is kind of like once you're past the box office where everybody has to weigh in and say something, positive or negative, and the numbers, the horse race of it all, where people are like, you know, doing the measuring of the junk, if you will, in a cinematic way.
Well, there are a lot of people who are uncomfortable with the business side. They like the art side. They don't like the business
side. Then this movie's not really artful, so we don't even get those people as well. Mm-hmm. But once you're past that, those little hurdles of the opening weekend, like, then you got forever. I always say that. I'm like, hey, everyone else gets this moment, and I get forever. And in this moment, sometimes you're tempted to be like, why did I do this and stuff? Like Sundance, we had 4 or 5 amazing sold-out screenings, yes, man. My kid had the best time of her life going to Sundance. What a great experience it was for her and stuff. And the critics just kind of bent the movie over and fisted it and stuff. So, you know, there was that downside to it. And there was a moment at Sundance where I'm like, I'm an idiot. Why am I doing this? Why don't I plot my career? Why am I just doing whatever I want? I made a movie with my kid about Nazi sausages. What is my problem and stuff? And that's just the self-doubt that, you know, came rather late in the process. But the self-doubt that everyone kind of goes through if they have a good idea. Everyone gets a million good ideas across the course of their lifetime. But we usually shout ourselves down all the time. There's that other voice. There's a voice of creation that's just like, hey, you could do this. You could try this. I bet you'd be good at this. Doesn't this look fun? And then immediately we get way more creative when it comes to the other voice that's like, no, don't be an idiot. That's been done. Or they would never see yours. There's going to be a waste of your time. We get insanely inventive when it comes to talking ourselves out of good ideas, man. We can't come up with good enough ideas to support our good ideas, why we should move forward with them and stuff, for a sense of adventure, for a sense of improvement, for a sense of, like, why not? Other people do things, why not me? But boy, oh boy, man, you get creative as heck the moment you want to talk yourself out of a good idea or even a bad idea.
I think that is really
important. It's true. Everyone is as eloquent as Lord Byron when it comes to talking themselves down, and I'm absolutely no different. So there are moments where you're like, why did I do this? Like, oh my Lord. Especially when, like, some of the reviews were like, he's got his kid in it, so that's tantamount to child abuse. Someone should lock him up and stuff like that. But everyone gets this moment. I don't want to say they to separate, you know, me from them or something. But everyone else gets this moment to celebrate, to knock the movie down, whatever. I get the rest of my life. Like,
and that
the rest of my life.
Working with your daughter, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll sit around going like, oh, my God, me and my kid
had
made
fun.
This movie together when she was
and
a
to
kid.
A large extent, your body of work has lived on in the afterlife. It's been much more appreciated and respected by people who have found it after the initial release. And
I'm an at-home kind of guy.
Yeah,
I'm not the guy you take out on the town on a date in front of people. I'm Netflix and chill.
You're a couch sweatpants kind of guy.
Absolutely. That's where my career has lived and thrived. So I'm not. Go ahead.
I hope people listened to what you just said, by the way, because this happens to apply to what you're discussing, making movies. But I think that is a great...
Oh, it's for everybody.
It's for everybody. It's for everybody in every decision that they make about things, how they're going to spend their time and what they're going to do with their life.
It's not just about artsy stuff.
I'm glad you shared that with us.
Thank you, sir. I hate using that term art because immediately people are like, well, for artists and stuff. But no, let's call it self-expression. Everybody could do that. That's what separates us from the animals and stuff.
Yoga Hosers premiere party is going to be tomorrow night all over Southern California. Lots of theaters. You can go to fathomevents.com for tickets and more information. And then, of course, it opens up everywhere for reals on the 2nd, right?
That's absolutely right.
That's this Labor Day weekend coming up. More with our guest, Kevin Smith, when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Oh, ooh, way down we go.
That's good stuff right there. I like that.
I was trying to pretend to play along, but I don't know anything about music.
Kaleo on K-Rock.
Allie's looking at me like that.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were doing a synthesizer or you were...
He's like, what instrument are you playing?
It was a theremin. It was a xylophone.
It's a piccolo piano, I think.
What a 6.7.
K-Rock, we got your tickets for Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
Coming up, you can win them in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Our final segment with Kevin Smith. All right, we talked about a bunch of stuff, but when you're here, I like to get the kind of roundup on what I'm missing in geek culture. And for instance...
Deathstroke.
Yeah. Let's talk about Deathstroke. That's a great place to start. Yeah.
Let's just let it be said. Everyone's kind of hit out of the blue by this. What do they call that? Sideswiped or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Where you're, like a bolt out of the blue, you mean?
I guess. Nobody was expecting this is what I'm getting.
Blindsided.
At. Thank you. That's you're what welcome. I was looking for. See, isn't that an NBC show or something like that? Blindside?
Sure.
All right.
Oh, with all the
blind spots. Spot. The blind spot.
That's
it.
Oh. Yeah. My bad. Anyway, forgot what
it was
to
news to people.
Yeah, that's what we're getting at. Nobody knew this was coming, Bean. Ben Affleck, Batman, if you're a youngster, Holden McNeil, if you saw Chasing Amy from the 90s, Ben Affleck, who plays Batman, on his Facebook page or whoever operates Ben Affleck's social media for him, mm-hmm. put up a very interesting clip of a shot of a monitor on set of a sequence being filmed, and the sequence featured a character. If he's not Deathstroke, the Terminator, I don't know who it is. And Slay Wilson.
It's absolutely undeniably him because he's even got like the ponytail thing going in the back. Of
and,
the
one
helmet,
eye and one eye is covered. Like covered on the armor
split
mask.
Split colors on the mask.
And Deathstroke is whom, Kevin?
Deathstroke is in the DC universe.
Slade Wilson.
Slade Wilson, one of the world's greatest, if not the world's greatest, assassin.
Right.
He comes in, he tangles with Batman quite a bit.
If you watch Arrow at all, you know the character because he was a big part of the backstory of Oliver Queen's time spent on that island when he became the Green Arrow.
Not so much in the comics, but in the show, absolutely.
In the show, very much so.
And it was cool. In the first episode, they showed that mask like sitting on... the thing that's stuck in the ground. Like, you were like, is that Deathstroke's mask? So now in this Justice League movie, for it, they wrote nothing. There's no explanation. But what we're to conclude is Deathstroke is in the Justice League movie that they're currently shooting right now. So that's exciting news for those of us who love DC Comics. It's one more new villain in the DC cinematic universe. He's been done on TV, as Ralph pointed out, and in the animation. But this is the first time we'll see him in a movie at this point.
Right.
And we're wondering... is it like the plot of Justice League is involves Steppenwolf as the villain? I think they're going to backdoor Darkseid in there, is my guess.
Easy,
go on. Fun.
Sounds sexier than I meant it, but I believe that will happen.
Backdoor your Darkseid.
Take him right to his fire pits of apocalypse, if you will.
Right to Boom Tube.
Oh, that was excellent. You should be a paid writer. That was good. So I think they're going to slip him in later, but I think they're not saying it. But this was. Like, nobody said, hey, Deathstroke's going to be in this flick. So this was kind of a nice tease of, like, look what else is. You don't even know what we've got planned for Justice League.
I thought Affleck was working on his own Batman solo movie
that's
right
after
now.
This.
He will eventually.
Oh, that's after the Justice League. Okay, gotcha.
So it's either a little vignette that will be in the film, or maybe there's, like, a Legion of Doom quality to this film where they're going to add a bunch of
villains teaming
up. Did
you see the
up.
Blood leave my face and rush to my junk, as
did.
You said,
sorry,
Legion
little,
of Doom movie?
Turgid.
Oh, my God. So that'd be amazing. If they have more than just like, let's say this is like the opening of Captain America Civil War, where they fight Crossbones and then they just go on and have a whole different adventure.
Great.
That'd be amazing. They open up and like Batman has to fight, this is Deathstroke. This is guesswork, folks. I have no idea. People are like, Ben. Not for years. So I have no insight. But based on what I saw, based on that 8-second clip, 20-second clip,
That's, you've extrapolated.
Yes, I'm extrapolating a much better movie.
Or is Steppenwolf putting together his own little team of people to combat the Justice League?
Ralph just wrote a much better Justice League movie than I was writing in my head. I hope Ralph's right. So that's happening. That's the big news right
there. That is the big news.
That's going to hit the internet in a big, bad way. Parents, walk into your kids' rooms now and be like, hey, Deathstroke's going to be in Justice League, just like that. Let's put your hands on your hips.
With a weird British teenager accent.
And your kids will be like, you're hipper than hell, Dad. I love you, Mom. You'll get the love from your kids you've been craving.
Let's go fly a kite, then.
Where's Mary Poppins?
All right. In 1 minute, because we're out of time, Kevin, in 1 minute, because you've seen it and we haven't, yes. Luke Cage on Netflix.
Yeah, you got to be careful here because they make you sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. So I'm not allowed to talk about it, but I don't think they would fault me for saying this. It is stupendous. It is absolutely terrific. It is as good as Daredevil season one, which for me has been a high water mark for them. Jessica Jones, also a great series that people loved as well. Luke Cage started there. He gets his own series here, but the acting across the boards, filmmaking across the boards, absolutely fantastic stuff. Takes another step up in the Marvel Universe. They just can't do anything wrong, dude. They're like so Pixar true. Back in the day, where it's just like anything they whipped out, you were like, this is genius, this is genius, this is genius. Everything they do. And what I love is, on the TV side of Marvel, I love the movies, don't get me wrong, in a big, bad way. But the villains always get the short end of the stick there because, you know, you got to set up their why they're mad and what's happening. And, you know, maybe you don't get a lot of time to pull the taffy and introduce a character and know what that character is all about. In the TV shows, man, think about it. You've had Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, which is like almost an Emmy-worthy winning performance. He should get an Emmy, but Emmy don't recognize this stuff yet necessarily. Then in Jessica Jones, Purple Man, David Tennant, brilliant villain. Fantastic Marvel villain, man. This time they got Cottonmouth and Mariah. Like, excellent, excellent villains. You understand their motivations. They're not just evil people. That, you know, they have something that, you know, there's a softer side to them as well. But they're complex. Oh, I'm telling you, like
that, high praise
aspect
right
of it is breathtaking, man. They're getting villains so right on those Marvel Netflix shows.
I've always felt
the heroes as well. But that's everyone gets the heroes right. But the villains, man, that's tough.
That's why I've always felt comic books are better served in television than in film because of the episodic nature. It's like issue after issue of a book where you can develop motivations. You can develop relationships between characters.
Look what really they're doing in that Berlanti verse over at CW, man. Like that's each one of those episodes of Flash plays like a standalone comic book.
Right.
So you can jump in, watch it, and enjoy it by itself, or you'd be like, oh, it's connected to something
There's
else.
There's through lines that
There's
follow.
There's through lines as well. So, yeah, I head up to Flash this week.
I know.
The rest of my second episode.
Kevin goes up to direct up Flash again, and then later on.
They get the world's slowest fat ass to direct a show about the world's fastest man. Isn't that ironic, kids?
I think it's a good match. And then Supergirl after that, right?
I go up back to Vancouver in October and direct an episode of Supergirl, which I look forward to in a big, bad way. I love the Flash. It's well documented, but I just got deep into Supergirl. I'd watched
Supergirl's
like
great.
Episodes. Oh, it's amazing.
Really, really
so,
good.
So that show, if you're a motion junkie, like, you know, if you're like a middle-aged man like me and you're like, I love to feel something, I just want to feel, watch Supergirl. It'll make you roll a tear per episode and make you feel human. This show packed me with regret, made me feel like I really missed out in life by not being a teenage girl with an older sister. Like the relationship between
Don't
Kara
give up,
and
man,
her,
there's still hope.
I could still be a teenage girl, couldn't
I? Yeah.
That's why Yoga Hosers exists. Yeah. Take it away, Bean.
Yoga Hosers premiere party is going to be tomorrow night. Go to fathomevents.com to get your tickets if you want to see ahead of the premiere everywhere in theaters this Friday for Labor Day weekend. Kevin Smith, we love you, brother. Thanks so much for coming.
Love you all. Thanks for having me.
Ralph, you put your headphones on. You were singing along and air drumming, so you probably didn't hear. I was trying to talk to you during the song there.
Yeah, oh, I heard.
Really? Because I thought we were having a conversation or something.
No, we weren't. It was no conversation at all. It was you talking about Taylor Swift serving jury duty.
Well, yeah.
Which is not a conversation. That's you just talking about Taylor Swift serving jury duty.
She's on a jury right now in Tennessee. There are people in Nashville who showed up for jury duty in Taylor Swift.
Oh, keyboard cat. Come on. Sorry. Cat
how
says
is that, how
no
is
more.
That not a thing that's worth thinking about, talking about?
You can think about it on your own time all you want. What you can't do is inflict it on the rest of us.
But isn't
it's not
our time?
Not right. It's not our time when you start talking about Taylor Swift and jury duty.
But those are two of the best things in the world, and they're together today only for the first time. I think it's exciting. All right, 8:55. Now it's Ralph's time. What's going on with the showbiz beat? You there?
It's Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Don't Breathe came in at number one with 26.1 $6.1 million. Suicide Squad was second, knocked out of first place by Don't Breathe with $12 million. Kubo and the Two Strings, third at the box office. Sausage Party, Mechanic Resurrection at number five. Then Pete's Dragon, War Dogs, Bad Moms. Mad Moms is a whole different movie. Jason Bourne and Ben-Hur rounding out your top ten at the box office. Over the weekend, Comedy Central filmed their Rob Lowe roast that you'll get to see on Labor Day on Comedy Central. But some of the jokes have leaked out from the evening. A lot of people say it was a very fun night and that it was not Rob at all. It was actually conservative icon, if you will, Ann Coulter received the worst slams of the night.
Why was she there, by the way?
To sell her new book.
Oh, okay.
She made a point out of saying that as much as I love, I'm here because I love Rob Lowe, not because I have a book that was just published 4 days ago, she said during her set. And Peyton Manning, for example, was there on the dais.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. When you think Rob Lowe, you got to think Peyton Manning.
They like to mix it up on Comedy Central. I think they like to bring in all different kinds of people. Peyton Manning said, I'm not the only athlete up here. As you know, earlier this year, Ann Coulter won the Kentucky Derby, which I thought was pretty strong. SNL's Pete Davidson said, if you're here, Ann, who's scaring away the crows from our crops? And Jimmy Carr said the joke of the evening, which is, Ann is one of the most repugnant, hateful, hatchet-faced bitches alive. It's not too late to change, Ann. You could kill yourself. So
wow.
That was some of the jokes headed her way that night. And a good time was had by all.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And I guess that's pretty typical at those roasts where
yes.
You don't just roast the honoree.
No,
you hit everybody on the dais.
Everybody
right.
Gets it, yeah. Rolling Stone has released a list of the 100 greatest drummers of all time. Rolling Stone magazine's latest list. Could you name 100 drummers if someone had a gun to
your head?
No, I can
name about seven,
right.
I think.
So this is an interesting list, though, because, you know, I drum a little bit myself. Beer Magano in the other room was talking about it because, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but he loves Beats.
Really? Because he doesn't bring that up much.
Beer Mug loves Beats.
Hmm, how about that?
It's going to be. There's going to be some people with some complaints about a lot of this. But any guesses? 100 greatest drummers of all time? Let's just do the top 10.
Well, I will tell
top
you.
10 when, drummers of all time.
When you say greatest drummers of all time, the very first name that comes to my mind is Ringo Starr. I'm sure he's not number one, but he's got to be in the top 10.
Number 14. Not in the top 10.
Oh, wow.
10,
how about that?
I'll give you another hint. Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones is number 12, not in the top 10.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Like, I would put him in the top 10 as well.
That's how I feel. I'm already furious.
Neil Peart.
Neil Peart is fourth on the list.
Don't call him Pert.
Are these all alive, Ralph?
No.
No Keith Moon? Okay, how about Keith
dead
Moon?
Dead people all over the place. Keith Moon, second on the list.
All right.
I would put him in number one. He's my personal guy. I think he's the most athletic, energetic, consistently amazing drummer in rock and roll history.
John Bonham.
Bonham's number one. They went with the
Stuart Copeland.
Safe choice. Copeland, number 10 on the list.
Well, by the way,
we'll have to talk to Sting about that this week.
Hey, none of us are mad at John Bonham being number one, right?
No, I can see. I can see what he did.
That's pretty legit. Is Mr. Grohl, is he on the list?
Grohl did not make the list.
All right.
I don't know where he ended up, but I'm surprised. Ginger Baker of Cream and Blind Faith, third on the list. Hal Blaine, legendary studio session drummer, was fifth.
Sure, from the Wrecking Crew.
Yep. Clyde Stubblefield and John Jabo Starks.
Motown.
Yep, and James Brown's band. Gene Krupa, legendary jazz drummer. Mitch Mitchell from the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm surprised, because when I think of Jimi Hendrix band, I don't necessarily think the amazing drumming.
Anyone besides Jimi.
You think guitar, right?
Right, right.
And Al Jackson Jr., another session drummer from Stax Records, from Booker T and the MGs, was ninth on the list. So there you go, drumming fans. Those are your 10 best, according to Rolling Stone magazine.
Charlie Watts, by the way, not in the top 10.
12th. Ringo, 14th.
All right.
Where's Phil Collins?
I don't know. I don't have the whole 100 in front of me here, but I'm sure he's buried in there someplace. Beer Mug, oddly enough, 27 on the list.
Oh,
that is a surprise.
Nice.
Don't you manscape! Well, it says in his quote how he felt about winning. Today's celebrity birthdays. Elliot Gould, 78 years old today. Carla Gugino is 45. Liam Shelv, Glee fame and also Scream Queens, 30 years old today. And Liam Payne, he's from your fifth dimension. No, what's
one,
that band?
One Direction.
One Direction. Yes. That's it. Yes, he was not in the fifth dimension.
Very different.
I thought he took over after Marilyn McCoo left.
Great
Google
reference.
It, kids.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, is it us?
Let's sell for the game thing.
All right. Yeah. As you know, we've been talking about it for the past couple weeks. It is finally happening this week. Wednesday morning, 8 o'clock, we are broadcasting live from the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock for Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
So really, you're running out of chances. You only got a couple days left to win your tickets. We are looking for Sting fans. You know Sting. You love Sting. His and the Police's music. You want to play a game to win your way in. You can. Call now. 1-800-520-1067. That's next on K-Rock.
Over.
Is it over for reals, or does she come back and sing it again like
over.
She does? Hey, do yourself a favor if you did not watch the MTV Video Music Awards last night, and watch Beyonce's performance. It's up all over the internet. It was tremendous. Really the highlight of the whole show last night. Moving ahead toward Wednesday here on the Kevin Bean Show at 8 o'clock. If you can't be here in person, you can watch the show. We will be carrying it live for you. You can watch it and listen to it at 8 o'clock. It's our Breakfast with Sting. He's the latest in a long line of legends who has joined us in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. And we thought we might give away some tickets here as we're running out of time at 1-800-520-1067 for Police fans. It looks like we got a new game to play here. The great Fred Schneider has joined us in the studio from the B-52s.
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, Fred, how are you, sir?
Doing great. How are you?
I hear you're a big Sting fan. Are you ready to play the game?
I love Sting and his songs. Love him so much, I want to sing along.
This is called What You Singin'?
What You Singin'? Sting song. Guess which one?
More.
What am I singing? You'll find out soon.
The Sting lyrics is what you need to know here for this game. Fred Schneider, the great Fred Schneider from the B-52s, once again inexplicably is here singing Sting and Police songs for you. All you have to do is tell us what song by title is he singing. You go into the drawing and may win your way in to join us Wednesday morning. Fred, are you ready for the first caller?
I'm ready to sing.
All right, let's talk to Carl. He's in Riverside. He's up first on line one. Hey, Carl, how's it going, man?
Going well.
Well, when you woke up this morning, you never imagined you'd be on with the great Fred Schneider, but here he is. He's going to sing a Sting or Police song. You just tell us which one it is. Listen up. Good luck.
Where does the answer lie? Living from day to day, it's something we can't buy. There must be another way.
Carl?
Oh, my gosh. It's a Police song.
Yes.
That Ghost in the Machine.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So close. Right album. It's called Spirits in the Material World. Nice try, though. Thank you for playing, sir. Let's go to Sherman Oaks. Let's get JC on the line. He's on line two. Hey, JC.
Hey.
Fred Schneider is going to sing for you. Listen up.
I look around, but it's you I can't replace. Feel so cold, and I long for your embrace. I keep crying, baby, baby, please.
I kind of like that. JC, what song?
Every Breath You Take.
That is correct. All right, JC is in the drawing. Well done. Let's try Darren, please, La Crescenta. Hey, Darren, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you.
Once again, this game we're playing is called What You Singin'?
What You Singin'?
All right, Fred, you're up.
To have you with me, I would swim the seven seas. I need you as my guide and my light. My love is a flame that burns in your name.
Message in a Bottle.
I'm sorry. No, this one was We'll Be Together. Now, Fred, your version doesn't sound much like the Sting version.
I know, because I sing like this.
Yes, you do. And you do. You only sing like that on every song.
That's right. It's my thing.
Let's try Whittier and speak to Lily Christie, who's up next. Hey, Christie, how are you?
Good, thanks. Good morning.
Do we sound like lunatics? How amusing we find this.
No, it's great.
Okay, all right, let's see. Here's
she
Fred.
She thinks I'm great. I love her.
let's hear what Fred Schneider is singing.
I know my mind is made up, so put away your makeup. I told you once, I won't tell you again. It's a bad way.
If Roxanne. You don't know, go ahead. Yes, it is Roxanne. I did not think she was going to pull that out. Did you, Fred?
Good for Christy.
Good for Christy indeed. All right, I think we got time for maybe one more. Let's make it Jennifer Los Angeles, please, up next, line five. Hey, Jen.
Hey, good morning, guys.
He's not singing B-52 songs, you understand. Fred Schneider is singing Police or Sting songs.
Hard to tell, but got it.
Okay, good luck. Here we go.
Poets, priests, and politicians have words to thank for their positions, words that scream for your submission, and no one's jamming their transition.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a song you definitely know.
Not Spirits of the Material World.
Oh, are we naming songs that it's not? Is that what we're doing?
Okay, that's my guess.
No, I'm sorry. We actually had that one earlier in the game. It was da-do-do-do-da-da-da. All right. Thank you for the call, Jennifer. Fred, do you mind? I don't want to go out on a down note. Can we do one more and hope to get a winner?
Why take one more call when you can take one call too many?
That is the slogan of the Kevin Bean Show. I feel good about Nick, though. He's in Santa Ana. He's on line 7, and he will be our final contestant, win or lose. Nick, you ready to play?
Yeah, let's do this.
Good luck.
If I had my way, I'd take a boat from the river, and I'd bury the old man. I'd bury him at sea.
All this time.
It is. If I had my way. Look at that. Rarely do our instincts pay off, but Nick is in the drawing, as is Christy, JC as well. Only one will win his or her way into the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock here on Wednesday morning for the great Sting stopping by for a breakfast with Alan McKay. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is Christy.
Christy! Yay! Hey, Christy.
Yes?
We'll see you at K-Rock on Wednesday. You win.
Thank you so much.
You're a winner.
Thanks for playing. Yeah, what you singing, Fred? Thank you.
What you singing?
Empire of the Sun on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, that's the song we came on with this morning, guys.
Wow, we've come full circle.
And it's the song we're leaving with, so I guess it's time to go. But first, one more look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Not till we hear how Taylor Swift's doing at jury duty.
Well, sure I'm not seeing any more information come out of the courthouse.
What's wrong with the state of journalism in America?
Exactly. She is taking pictures with other jurors on the case, though. Will she get selected for a case, or would she be too much of a distraction? Do you want a celebrity on your jury, or do you feel like everybody's going to be concentrating on that person and not listening to the details of your case?
She should be being judged in that courtroom, not on the jury, right? She should be brought up on charges.
Oh.
Yes.
What is she guilty of?
Felony bitchery.
Oh. That is a problem.
Yes, it is.
Wouldn't there be a lot of people in jail if felony bitchery were a crime?
No, because she is in the first degree.
Guilty!
Oh, I see. I feel like she would be an excellent juror, though.
Oh, my God.
I think she would take it seriously, and she would pay attention.
This is on me. This is my bad.
You brought it.
It up, and I apologize to everyone listening and everyone in this room. Okay. I'm deeply, deeply sorry.
All right.
There's things you do for ratings sometimes, but there are certain lines you don't cross. And
I heard a guy say that once on TV.
That is one of them, and I'm sorry, and I'm never do it again.
There are real definite lines that you do not cross.
Right.
Obviously, everybody's trying to get ratings, trying to get noticed, trying to be this and that. But there are lines that you just don't cross, and that's one of them.
That is one of them, and I apologize.
Lesson learned.
Yep. Don't Breathe, number one at the box office this weekend. That is, of course, the story of all the listeners of the Kevin Bean Show who hear Bean on the microphone on a regular basis. Don't Breathe. It's called $26.1 million. It really is a horror movie. Because it's Taylor Swift. These people are screaming and running. It's horrible. Suicide Squad, second at the box office. $12 million made at number two. Kubo and Two Strings, Sausage Party, and Mechanic Resurrection. Your top five movies at the box office. Pete's Dragon came in at number six. Then War Dogs.
War Dogs.
Bad Moms. Jason Bourne and Ben-Hur. Those are your top 10 movies.
By the way, I don't have any idea what Kevin has been doing on his 6-month vacation.
Right.
But I guarantee he saw that Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I guarantee he went to see the Mechanic movie.
He saw all of the movies. That's all I can imagine. All of the movies. Heard you guys talking to Donald Trump a minute ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ice Cube would like you to know in no uncertain terms that he is not supporting Donald Trump.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. Here's what happened. Trump's campaign tweeted a video interview with Ice Cube from the Bloomberg News back in April, where in that interview, they asked him, what's the appeal of a Donald Trump? This is back, you know, when the primaries were still going on. What's the appeal of a Donald Trump? And Ice Cube said to the interviewer, he looks like a boss to everybody, and Americans love to have a boss, so that's his appeal to me. And so that led to a Trump tweet that said, Ice Cube endorses Donald Trump.
Oh, jeez.
So Cube responded with a quote over the weekend, I will never endorse a mother like Donald Trump ever. He tweeted just to set the record straight. So
you know.
Now you know.
Wasn't this kind of like, Ralph, remember a couple months ago when Billy Joel made some offhanded remark during a concert about Donald Trump? And yeah. Donald Trump was 1 minute later was, I want to
Billy
thank Billy Joel
loves me. Huge, huge fan of me. A lot of people are telling me Billy Joel is saying great things about me. So.
And he was actually kind of making fun of him from the stage. Yeah. Yeah.
Harry Fujiwara. You may not know that name. You probably know him better by his wrestling name of Mr. Fuji. He passed away on Sunday morning. He was 82 years old. Spent the better part of 30 years with the WWE, both as a manager and as a wrestler. Used to get in the ring in his black tuxedo with his bowler hat looking like Oddjob from Goldfinger and then just throw salt in the face of his opposing wrestlers to blind them.
I love that move.
Because it's really unfair. It's awesome. Then he managed Kamala and George the Animal Steel. Killer Khan. He was a legend. So he will be missed by wrestling fans. And while we're talking about legends, probably can't get any bigger in the world of Mexican music than Juan Gabriel. He, since the early 70s, so what's that, four decades? He's just been a huge success, a huge star. Passed away over the weekend after performing at the Forum. He was just 66 years old. 100 million records sold.
Wow.
He made $12 million this past year just from touring. He had his 13th studio album that was out. He is one of the best-selling Latin music artists of all time. Six-time Grammy nominee, has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Juan Gabriel passed away at the age of 66. Here's a little taste of his music if you're not familiar. No me dijiste. Got a great voice, great range, great presence.
Ali, tell Ralph about the tweet you got earlier today when we were paying tribute to Mr. Gabriel.
You played a snippet of a song a couple hours ago.
Yes.
Unfortunately, someone just woke up. That was what they woke up to their alarm. And they thought, oh, God, Musica is here.
Yes. Oh. Trust me, it's not far away.
It's not.
We're just breaking it in. We're just saying, we're just trying it on for size, see how it fits.
Musica, musica, musica.
By the way, the clip I played earlier in the show apparently was not Juan Gabriel
dear.
At all.
It was, what happened there?
It was a song that Juan Gabriel had written and was performed by someone else. From Juanes, apparently, was the one who was performing that clip. So we got that all straightened out, and I apologize, but so what happens, we got Omar, you know, working there. He's so high. I don't know what drug he's on this morning, but it's some kind of powder, and then he adds a liquid, and then there's some sort of vapor and smoke, and then there's a burst of flames. So I'm not really sure what kind of drug that is.
That seems elaborate.
It is. It's like a magic trick over there. It's a lot of work to get high. Speaking of sick performers, everyone try to relax. Smash Mouth frontman Steve Harwell collapsed during a concert over the weekend, and people seem to be very upset. So
that he survived?
By all accounts, he's okay. He's going to be all right. I just wanted to give everyone some comfort in our time of national need.
Mm-hmm. What happened to him?
He collapsed during a concert.
Okay. I just thought maybe we found out afterwards that there was something medically wrong with him.
Steve from Smash Mouth collapsed on stage and left in an ambulance, one fan tweeted. Glad he okay, though. We already lost Juan Gabriel. Can't lose Steve.
Who tweeted that?
A fan.
Okay.
Of both?
Of both of them. You know, the big crossover between
huge crossover,
the Smash
right.
Mouth fans mm-hmm. and the Mexican and Latino mm-hmm. music community. Huge, uh-huh. huge crossover. Right. It's a big Venn diagram of people. Today's celebrity birthdays, Elliot Gould. Very talented actor. If you've never seen the movie MASH that the TV series was spun off from, the original film, it's a very different experience than the TV show was. A Robert Altman film, one of my favorites. So good at that. 78 years old today. Carla Gugino is 45 years old today. Did Bean pass out?
It sounded like
it.
He
went down. Yeah. Did you go down, Bean?
No, no, I'm fine.
Oh.
Okay.
Lea Michele is 30 years old today. And Liam Payne from One Direction turns 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, kids, on your drive home today, why not listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour? It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Not only the return of the monkey tomorrow.
Nope.
Not only K-Rock's Kevin in the studio.
I don't buy it.
He's going to be here.
Nope.
Allegedly. Mm-mm. Unless he forgets. There's a very real possibility he'll forget.
Yes.
Check out this show. The great Felipe Esparza is going to be joining us. Very funny comedian. You guys remember Felipe. We've
love
had him
Felipe.
Before.
Sure. Funny.
TV legend Henry Winkler.
No way.
Will be on the program tomorrow.
No.
Yes.
The real Fonz.
Yes.
No, not
that,
Ralph.
That Fonz impersonator that we run into
down. I know it would be you in another room confusing
the Chinese
people.
Theater all the time.
The we got world premiere music in the 8 o'clock hour from a little band that we call Jimmy Eat World. That's being hand-delivered by Jim Atkins himself. He's Jimmy of Jimmy Eat World. That's going to be happening on the program tomorrow. Petros Papadakis is going to be here talking about the preview of college football, kids, including USC versus Alabama. So we'll talk to the P about that. And while he's here, how about another Bachelor in Paradise report? The BIP report, here's a programming note, a little bit earlier than usual tomorrow, correct?
Almost paradise!
Yes. Just after 7:30 tomorrow. Usually we have it at 8, but scheduling conflict. So just after 7:30 will be the Bachelor in Paradise report. All of that and your final chance at Breakfast with Sting tickets tomorrow right here.
What am I singing?